Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 101 of the Xbox Call of Gamers podcast. This week, I am joined by Cameron.
Hello.
And Keo.
Hello.
Yeah, we're officially into season two, I guess, or whatever. I don't know.
No, season twos.
All right, fine. I'll leave it.
You gotta stop letting that other podcast twist your arm.
Look, we're like, I don't know. I named the last episode Shippuden as a Naruto joke, which I don't think most people are going to get.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone got it, did it?
I don't give, I mean, whatever. Look, I make most of the podcast titles to make me laugh. So that's the main thing. So I was, you know, going to come in here with like an Eno fringe and my Naruto headband and talk about all the horrors of war that I've seen.
Really want to make it so that whenever you talk about the podcast to your co-workers, you just go, that's a good episode title.
Yeah, it was a great one.
Continue on your day.
Fucking nailed it. That's right. Yeah. Well, that was fucking last week's episode. Us going through the podcast titles and be like, man, we're fucking funny. That's great.
Invincible references.
Oh my. Did you see the first episode?
It's so good.
It was so good. It was really good. But also every time they were like pausing and then saying the name. And I was like, they're leading into the joke.
It 100% was like the biggest circle jerk.
Oh, yeah.
That first episode. And just having the credit. Having the title card come up in the last minute of the episode.
The very end of the episode, yeah. If people have watched Invincible, they should. It's really good.
I made Nikita watch the entire first season in the last 2 weeks.
Fantastic. I need to catch up on Loki because I think the last episode of that comes out today.
Tonight, yeah.
And Gen V was, the ending was okay.
It's good. Yeah, I liked it.
I thought it was fine, but I mean, I'm very much more excited for the boys. Anyway, this is our TV review podcast, if you hadn't guessed. We decided that we did 100 episodes of the video game stuff, so now we're just going to talk about TV.
Yeah, let's hear it for the boys.
I mean, realistically, we're going to be talking about a few TV references.
This is true. This is true. Lights, camera, and action might make a comeback. You never know.
No, I'm not going that far.
Like, as long as we keep talking about it maybe coming back, it might.
We need to have something to play over the weekend, over the weekends when I'm not here, or when you guys, you know, or when you guys take a holiday, or when we, you know, Christmas happens and we can't, but we're just too completely smashed into the podcast. We need to have some fill-in episodes.
Sure.
But as always, this show is live on Twitch, so I can't edit to fix any of this bullshit. Xbox Hall of Gamers is the place to find us. You can come hang out with us in our community. We've got Left 4 Legacy in here. We've got Bulbasaur. We've got David. Hopefully a few others join us. Come and ask questions in the chat, ship post, react, all that kind of stuff. We appreciate our community and their support, their ongoing love and support for us.
Wait, you guys got that here?
I don't know. Hey, you know, Patreon dollars keep rolling in. But let's just get into our question to start with this week. Keo, you posed something on the Discord.
Yeah, I was. I had a friend, you know, meme at me, and I was kind of just like, "Well, this sounds like a good question." So I'm like, "Hey, gang, is there a scene in a game that plays when you die that you absolutely hate having to repeat? Either dying to a boss or generally during gameplay. A classic example is the one from PS1, A Bug's Life. Every time you die." It repeats, is this do you think this is a game? Over and over again. Yeah, and there's been some really good ones that have shown up in the Discord, some replies to that, so.
When you brought that up, it was funny. I was thinking about A Bug's Life the other day for some reason. Something got like, I think someone was talking about Pixar. Oh no, it was that someone posted, I think it might have been Char, posted the bloopers. When they used to do like Pixar did animated bloopers for their things, where it's like they would like do the bloopers, but then they would animate them. So obviously they weren't actual bloopers; they were just like funny like things that they did. Whereas like they were pretending like they were real actors,
fully animated, all that.
Yeah, fully animated and like voiced and everything. So they obviously put like way too much effort into it.
This is a movie podcast, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just thinking, I was like, man, I played a lot of that Bug's Life game. And like that scene from that end thing is from the movie where he's like, you think this is a game? Well, you just lost. And I was like, wow, actually that fits perfectly with the video game because I died a lot in that game. But I can still like pretty like that game is like seared into my brain. I never owned it. Like I think I rented it from.
I definitely rented it more than once and 100% the damn thing. So.
Yeah.
Shame that we don't get those kind of bloopers anymore.
Yeah, well, I guess I kind of understand why. I think they kind of did them for Monsters, Inc., right? I think it was probably the last one. David points out you're getting lifted up by the Valkyrie into human. Yeah, that's basically like the ultimate punishment. It's like, hey, you died. You need to watch this fucking cutscene. It's like, yeah, like nothing bad happens. You just respawn. We just waste your time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I couldn't really think of many for this. Like, I went and looked up the worst boss fights.
Yep.
And like for me, Quantum Break with Paul Serene at the very end.
Okay, I haven't played that quite yet, but
I don't
yep.
remember ever dying on that boss fight. It was pretty easy, so I don't know what you're talking
No,
about.
That difficulty ramps up.
Oh no, it does. It actually, yeah, like it's actually quite difficult at the end, yeah.
And it's like one of those ones where it's just like you have to do the whole cut scene before it, so you have to wait that out.
Yep, that's the worst.
But like for like 95% of the game is like really enjoyable to me, and it was just that last 5% where you just weren't expecting that level of difficulty.
No, it does definitely ramp up for it. Like it's a relatively straightforward third person act like shooter.
I never considered the fact that there might actually be spoiled box like spoilers for boss fights like going into a question like this. But no, you're right. You could be teetering on the edge, I guess.
I mean, it's very obvious.
To be fair, yeah, like if you've seen any
Yeah,
trailer, it's
yeah.
like, yeah, they got the big actor. I wonder if he's going to be a major character in this game. Trying to think
And
of.
then the other one for me was King Dice with Cuphead. Just because it just becomes annoying.
Yeah.
Like having to do a sequence of boss fights to me is always a bit annoying, especially if it doesn't save once you hit the latest iteration.
Yeah, I'm really not a fan of the multi-phase boss fight without checkpoints, you know? Like if you look at something like Kingdom Hearts, for example, fuck me, like the original Kingdom Hearts, the final boss is you have one fight with the final boss, and then there is a checkpoint, no save point, just a checkpoint. Then you got to fight him again, and then you got to fight two other versions. I was just starting to think it's like a it's kind of like a five stage boss fight kind of, because there's kind of a couple of mini stages in between, but it's really fucking long. And on like critical difficulty, it's gets really rough. I saw those cutscenes a lot, even though you could skip them. And actually, I don't even know if you could. I'm pretty sure you
Don't
could
think you
skip.
could with Kingdom Hearts 1.
Not the
Kingdom Hearts 2, you
original. I
could.
think in the re-release they put skip in there because yeah. But I remember.
Yeah,
Oh
that is a
God.
good shout. I do remember having those problems. Yeah.
Yeah, Kingdom
Yeah.
Hearts 2 was definitely skippable cutscenes. 1 was not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And 1 just felt
Yeah.
a lot slower as well.
Yeah. Two is definitely right. I mean, I love both of those games, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
I
I.
mean, just to quickly like gush back in the last two, like once you play two, you can't go back to one, in my opinion. It's very difficult because the movement just feels so slow.
Yeah, I'm
Like
kind of
having
with you.
glide and that kind of access.
I don't know,
Speaking of Kingdom Hearts, you probably should play the one that Kirby gifted you, right?
well, look, the other
Looking
thing
for
there is I have
games
to
to
play Chain
complete.
of Memories as part of that, which fucking sucks. And then I got to do this other fucking Birth by Sleep or whatever it is, which.
I mean, Chain of Memories is all right. Like, gameplay is all right. The achievements are horrible. That's the problem.
The achievements are
Yeah.
rough, yeah. I'm trying to think of any like game over stuff that like or like think I've had a lot of this recently because I've been replay like I've been playing some definitely some harder stuff. Anything where you don't where you can't skip cutscenes is always is like just
Yeah.
so fucking frustrating.
Mind Laven. Mind Laven.
Well,
Anything that
yeah,
you
my
die
actually Mine Labyrinth
once.
is a fantastic example because you can skip some stuff, but that game is just so like that game is way too long to be done in a single life on the hardest difficulty. And I've attempted it a couple times.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the Blade of Miquella, is it? Is the Melania reference?
Yes, from Elden Ring. Yeah,
Yeah,
that
yeah,
fucking
yeah.
hearing that again. That's not really like a cutscene, right? Because she says that as you walk into the boss fight and the fight starts,
Right.
but
You
you
have
just have to
to. Yeah.
hear it every fucking time. Oh man, yeah, that's yeah, and like.
Yeah, Zach goes ahead and says the Valkyrie death scene in Too Human. It's a good one.
David. Same thing as David. Yeah, exactly. Like it's,
Oh
yeah,
yeah, yep.
it's
Yeah,
rough.
yeah. Bulbasaur said Overwatch 2 Junkenstein's Revenge. Didn't like the sounds in that one. The Moonzom says Donkey Kong 64, which had two game over cutscenes, one with K. Rool laughing and the other one with him blowing up the island. So that was actually, I completely forgot about that one. So, but yeah, and that reminded me of the, I think, is it when you die in Conker's Bad Fur Day where he's sitting on the throne having an absolutely bad day?
No, that's the end. That's the end. That's the actual ending. That's the actual ending.
It is, isn't it?
But they do have that, yeah, Conker's Bad, like actually all of those kind of like rare era, yeah, like the Banjo Kazooie is the same way, has a whole fucking cutscene if you get a game over. Like,
You've just remembered me of the,
I did remember you. Yes.
The puzzle bridge in Banjo Kazooie.
Oh fuck yeah!
Like having to do them, and if you don't remember certain aspects of the game,
yeah, the quiz
you have to reset the quiz. That's a pain in the ass.
Now they do. They brought it back for ukulele as well. I'm remembering some of like the God of War stuff as well. Like the first God of War had a few of those things where they put a cutscene before a boss fight, and so we'd have to watch the cutscene every single fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the early PS2 was kind of rough for that. I hadn't quite figured it out yet.
I miss games like God of War.
I mean,
that hack and slash, easy, not have to worry about it, kind of.
Oh, I don't know about easy. Some of those.
Oh, I mean, like you know what I mean. Like you, like Heavenly Sword, God of War, that kind of gameplay style.
Sure, you don't see it as much anymore.
Yeah, I kind of miss having something like that to turn off and progress, and still have a good story.
Crash Bandicoot was always annoying when you died.
True,
because you do the well. Actually, to be fair, sometimes it was funny. Like that was the one good thing about that game was that like it had a sense of humor about its deaths. But
yeah,
I'm just
I don't know the others.
Thankfully, like, most games realize that death is like games where death is like frustrating and like common. They try to make it as like a game that does it perfectly is Ghost Runner. Right, Ghost Runner has the best loop of a game I probably ever played in terms of like live, die, repeat kind of thing, where it's like you die, you hit the trigger, you are no load screen, you're literally right back in there to try it again straight away, and like it takes so much of that frustration out. Like I think like I saw a lot of, I had to reload a lot when I was doing Mirror's Edge Catalyst, like even though that's much easier than the original game, some of those time trials at the end, like I just had to restart those over and over and over again, and like having to sit through the fucking cutscene or the load screen, which was just like a little bit too long. Where it's like, that's the kind of thing you like. You want something, if someone's going to be repeating something, you need it to be really fucking snappy.
I just realized one true one for me.
Mm.
Age of Empires 2, All Your Castle Belong to Us.
Yeah.
Having to micromanage everything down to the millisecond, just having to take down, I think, 8 castles in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Is fucking ridiculous. And then you'll start the mission again. You'll have the same voice lines. You'll have the saying, oh, you're like heading into the north. Yeah. Cool. Crash Bandicoot series for the Time Relics.
Yeah, Time Relics. Exactly. Like, yeah, just that's like, we're kind of getting a little away from it where it's like the actual things in the game that you have to repeat over and over again, and we're just getting like bashing your head against something that gets really rough. Yeah. Where essentially it's like, because most of the time it's like, hey, you fuck something up, you're like, hit restart. Like, I don't want to. Well, actually, the worst thing is like when you can't restart and you're like, you need to like leave the game, exit it, or like go back to main menu and load a save or something, and you can't do it from the thing. Just always fucks me off. I'm also thinking of like Metal Gear games are also can be a bit rough for that too, although it's great to just hear them yell Snake. Oh man.
All right, well, that seems that seems to be about it for the question really then.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, maybe like, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I mean, the only other thing that I can think of is like they really lent into the 2013 Tomb Raider reboot with the deaths.
Oh yeah, those were so brutal.
Yeah, so yeah, the rapid waterfall one was probably one. Yeah, of the that's worst the one ones. That
always springs to mind.
Actually, you want to know a really good one?
Mm.
The bit of Battletoads. The bike.
The hyper lane. I still haven't got the achievement for that in Rare Replay.
Yeah, yet. I need to do the Battletoads reboot, actually. I need people for that. Like, I need to do that cycle scenes to
Definitely. I've definitely had a lot of frustration playing Resident Evil 4 this week. I didn't put in what I've been playing because I kind of talked, I basically talked it to death last week, but I got the DLC done, and playing on professional was like, you just basically replaying those same segments over and over again, trying to make, because if you get hit, it's like you lose half your health, and it's like, well, there's a part where you got to fight, you basically get trapped in a room with a bunch of those knights. And then there are two guys with crossbows on the outside shooting into the room. So you're like, okay, well, I need to shoot the knights to make sure they don't get too close to me and kill them, but I also can't stand still for too long. Otherwise, I'm going to get shot by an arrow from two different directions. I replayed that segment probably about 30 times. Did a good job of it. Made some good progress because you have limited saves. And then I got to a point where I fucked up there's another room where you get trapped in with some Garadors, the guys with the claws and they're blind. And I fucked that up completely. And obviously I had to go back to before the night thing and basically redo it again. So I made sure I put a save before that the next time, but holy shit. I was like, I nearly threw my fucking controller. Cause it was just like, again, the same voice lines, the same, like the enemy show up in the same spot. I get it shot from the same place every fucking time. Yeah. It nearly broke me. Yeah, so there's been a lot of that. And also like the death scenes where it's like you're on low health and they do, you know, that was the big thing about Resident Evil 4 when it came out, was like those death animations were ridiculous. Like, you know, the chainsaw guy would like fully like cut your head off and like your headless body would stumble a bit and fall over and then you get the game over screen, or like, you know, you get crushed or sliced in half or whatever.
Died.
And like it just, again, yeah, like, would, yeah. it, like you said with Tomb Raider, they were trying to like show off their cool animations and shit. But after the 30th time, you just like, fuck this. Oh man. I don't know. Any other examples, or do you want to get into the news?
Oh, let's get into the news.
All right.
All righty.
So we got this first one here. Blizzard, part of Activision, now belong to Xbox and Microsoft. There's been some chat. There was an interview given by World of Warcraft's vice president and executive producer talking about how they're thinking about bringing World of Warcraft to the console. To be fair, they did say that like they've always thought about it. Like, to be fair, like this isn't a new discussion. There's been talk about WoW coming to console since WoW, you know, since fucking Wrath of the Lich King. So, but now like there's more of a possibility for it to happen. Now, I guess they did say it wasn't, you know, the game's 20 years old at this point, and they said it wasn't a huge priority on their list. That Blizzard have a lot of work to do with WoW, especially with
Well, I mean, I haven't played the game, like, ever, really. But I know a couple expansions ago, they added controller support.
Yeah.
So you can do that on PC now, I believe so. But
yeah, but they've also just announced three different, the next three expansions that they're doing. So they're going to be pretty fucking busy.
I mean, what it's what, 18, 15 to 18 months per expansion, I think.
Usually, yeah, it's like it's at least a year, usually two. We don't know if these are going to be like shorter ones or what. Again, I haven't played WoW in God knows how long.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends, right? Because you look at Final Fantasy, they finished their arc, 10-year arc, and it's like right there at the end of that, they're starting again. They can move everybody onto Xbox. You know, they can get Xbox involved and do all of that stuff. Kind of, you know, it's perfect timing for that, really, because of the way that lines up. But I don't think World of Warcraft will have that kind of, you know, opportunity unless they plan to do it at the end of the three-story arc, because you don't want to drag new players in the middle of a story arc. Either that, or you get two in and then you have everybody banging on the end of the expansion.
I don't know. I mean, like, I guess the other thing with it, like MMO content never really, well, usually doesn't go away, right? Like there's still some way to play a lot of that old stuff, even with like Final Fantasy 14. I'm sure, you know, there's 300 hours of content there at least. David, yeah,
speaking of which,
yes,
did you see somebody's actually finally completed all the Final Fantasy 14's achievements?
Jesus Christ, that's
I haven't noticed that. No, is that on True Trophies? Is it? You also saw that, or
I think he was a PC player.
Yeah, oh, right, the in-game achievements. Yeah, yes, there's a lot of, yeah. Yeah. So one thing I noticed with Final Fantasy 14 is that I've been going through and kind of cataloging a lot of the stuff, I guess, preparing for when it comes to Xbox, and the current trophies that they added are tying everything up. It's like, get all of the fishing logs, craft all of the things, you know, gather all of the X amount of types of minerals and like just everything. So they're building the list kind of to go, okay, this is done. Everything up to the point you have to collect everything to finish everything. Right. So, and that was in the Gathering Light update that they just did. And I was looking at it going, hang on, the 320 triple triad card thing was the thing to add to collect everything was like 3 or 4 patches ago. And then I noticed every single patch had complete this 100%, complete this 100%.
Right.
It's like everything in these areas are now being tied up.
Interesting.
And it's like, so that's the end game, and they'll bring everybody in with new stuff, hopefully. So,
Okay, yeah. I mean, I'm super curious to see kind of what happens. I don't know if I will jump on it immediately. I might do, you know, maybe we'll get a hog guild together or something. But,
it sounds like Neverwinter all over again.
That's a little bit right.
Count me out.
Yeah, except it'll be me leading the charge this time. And
I mean,
the
problem with Neverwinter is I don't have anyone to play with. And they also just released a new expansion yesterday.
Just to give people an idea too. So this article came out at the end of September. 10 years later, this Final Fantasy 14 completionist is the first to finish the MMO's 2,751 achievements.
Yeah, okay, fuck that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, some of them are unobtainable of sorts because they're tied to limited time events. Mm. Like there's a new Fall Guys event, and that's got win 100 matches.
Oh.
So if you think Fall Guys, how like what it's like to win in a Fall Guys match, and you think you have to do 100 of them in the Final Fantasy version of it.
Yeah.
I did find last night you can't go in there by yourself. So I ended up pooled in a party by myself, and then the countdown timer just kept going. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, it's going down to zero. I'm here by myself. So I'm like, just playing the rounds by myself. I'll get my first win. I'm like, okay, I'll take that. I'll do it 99 more times.
Right. All right. Yeah. Perfect.
So you can't do that in Fall Guys, but but you have to do them when the event's going. Otherwise, yeah. So that must have been a 1.0 player, like for sure. Because
For sure, yeah, definitely, yeah. Like to have that level of dedication, you need to be mentally ill. Yeah.
So obtained every relic weapon from every expansion, caught every fish.
All right. Yeah.
The what is it? 5 ultimate raids.
At least, yeah. So they're still going with some of the stuff that's just been
out. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. David also points out with WoW that, yeah, there are also 3 versions of WoW basically now.
Well, they've got roguelikes built in. There's 3 roguelikes built in, and they're actually deep. They're called deep dungeons. And you go from level, 1 to 100 or 1 to 60 or 60 to 100 or whatever. And there's new trophies for doing them all solo. So, and normally that's party content, but gives people the opportunity to do it solo because when you go in, your character defaults to level 1. You have to play the game.
I see.
You play it like a roguelite and you have to get through. But you get like every 10 levels or something, you get to save basically once you dip in and out.
Interesting. Like, okay.
So it's, I've never actually done a deep dungeon and I'm still learning things about the game, but I'm currently spreadsheeting and cataloging everything because I don't know. Don't ask me why. It's just like, try to organize it so I can plan out what I'm going to do, like stream content, all that kind of stuff. If I start doing some steady Final Fantasy stuff. So,
okay. Oh, interesting. So I guess we'll see what happens with WoW. I think it's more of a question of like when it comes to consoles as opposed to if. I'm sure they'll like, they also talked about like, are they going to do like a tie-in with Game Pass? They said they haven't got to that yet, but
right.
Yeah. I feel like once we start like PC Game Pass at least. I think that once we start seeing some like the Activision stuff show up on Game Pass in the first place, then
yeah, we'll see it tied to the Windows Store on Game Pass PC, and then that'll have achievements or whatever before we see it on console.
Yeah, exactly. There's other stories, a bit of a quick one, but last week there was a whole controversy about apparently there was the decision made to, or apparently a decision floated that wasn't necessarily finalized yet, that they were going to say that Microsoft staff that don't work on the Xbox team were going to get their Game Pass subscription, their free Game Pass subscriptions revoked, and they had to buy it at a discounted rate. Mm-hmm. Oh, the horror.
Those bastards.
Yeah, that's criminal, right? Okay, what are you guys' thoughts about this? So just off the top of your head, what do you like?
I mean, in terms of a marketing sense, I think the more people that know your product, the better.
Yeah, true. True.
Yeah. I think, it, you know, Microsoft Xbox go hand in hand.
Yes.
I think the more people that know about the product, the better it is to spread it through word of mouth marketing.
Yeah, well, I mean, working in retail, like, the more of these things that we got access to, we were able to talk about them. And there were programs built around earning rewards and all kinds of stuff from Microsoft or whoever. Like, you know, every single brand has their own rewards thing that they kind of push to get people to know the product. Yeah. It's like, at least make them work for it.
I'll give you an example of this. This week, I didn't realize that Google Play had its own version of Game Pass.
What do you mean?
And Google store has its own.
They've been pushing that quite a bit, I think, lately. Every time you go on the App Store, it wants you to do things. So.
But I'm not a mobile gamer, so I don't really know about that stuff. So I found out one of our games is in the pro version of that is in that subscription service.
Oh, right. Oh, okay, interesting.
So I was like, oh, I didn't even know this was a thing.
On the one hand, I'm like, kind of like, yeah, there isn't really like a great reason why people who work at Microsoft but not Xbox should get free Game Pass. But also, it's like, how much money you really like? Seriously, like the goodwill hit that you take from taking something away from people that's like what, like $15 a month, $100 a year, or whatever. Like, bro, Microsoft, you guys have the cash to burn. Just fucking suck it up.
Yeah.
So apparently Phil Spencer has stepped in and made sure that this isn't happening and that people will retain their free Game Pass.
Well, it's like, you're basically putting the money back into the business that you're getting the money out of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's a culture thing too. Like if you're promoting that culture, it's better for your employees.
It's one of those perks that I think, you know, it's one of those like working on Microsoft perks that really should just be like,
all right. Microsoft, this is how it goes. How many employees do you have? And how many more numbers do you want to show people that extra people that have Game Pass?
Yeah.
How many people won't have Game Pass now that you've taken it away from them?
Does Microsoft have to play for Office Suite?
Probably. Well, I mean, that's the thing. That's exactly where it's like. I work at Microsoft. I should be getting everything Microsoft software, at least, should be pretty much free.
I mean, like, if we had a story like that, Google would be like, oh, Google Docs.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. It's just so stupid. And apparently the decision was made without consulting him, which also seems like a real bad fucking... It was some fucking accountant who was like, I've got to cut some numbers here. You know, I've got to make up... Because apparently they've hit a pretty big shortfall in terms of like subscriber numbers that they were trying to hit, like new subscriber numbers. I think they were down.
Yeah.
I think their goal was like 75%. Growth, and I think they only hit like 25% or something.
Now, the only reason I would find this removal justifiable is if it saved people's jobs.
Yeah, but it wouldn't. This is not the kind of this is not the kind of money.
$15 a month is not going
to. It's not going to break the bank. Like seriously, and also like, it's $15 a month to us. To them, it's basically $0. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, if they're selling it at a discounted rate, it's got to be like half off or more. And even then, like even though, like a wholesale price for Game Pass would be nothing, so it's like it's just pennies.
Well, don't they have like a Microsoft store on campus or something?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's because the only place you could still buy a Windows Phone.
Yeah, jeez. Wasn't there?
I'm booking a trip. Let's go
to Redmond. Yeah,
because wasn't there like special physical editions back in the 360 era?
Yeah,
like there was like a special version that you could get only on the Microsoft campus. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a few things like that. And yeah, that was the one place where you get a Windows Phone. I was joking, but also not.
I miss Windows Phones.
Just a weird, funny story that I saw. What's this next one about Lego?
All right. So this like leaked early last year. Yeah, I think it was early last year. So Lego was basically working on a whole bunch of IP video games, and Lego 2K Goal with Frio's artwork is reportedly leaked by the PlayStation Store. So it's just more proof that these rumors weren't made up. We had like had a few Lego games. We had Lego Brawls.
Okay.
Which was like a fighting Lego game come out sometime this year. I
Yeah.
don't think it did very well.
It
I'm
was like
trying to
2K
think.
Drive, obviously, is the most recent one.
Yeah, Lego 2K Drive. I was trying to think what the other one was.
Yeah, like I feel like, so I guess like they got this Lego 2K brand thing that they're doing right now. They're trying to get away
So
from
yeah,
licensing.
last February, VGC re exclusively reported that 2K had signed a new multi-game partnership with LEGO. 2K's LEGO Sports line would include a racing game from NBA 2K developer Visual Concepts, a football game developed by UK-based Sumo Digital, and a third title based on a major sports series. Sources with knowledge of its plans revealed the racing game LEGO 2K Drive was released in May. And then a LEGO footballer minifig and 2K branding packaging was sported on LEGO's certification page last December. LEGO 2K Goal has recently been rated in South Korea in June before being classified in South Africa and Taiwan in July for PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC.
Honestly, the branding for sports games as Lego, it all seems a little bit messy.
I would be very interested if you could do a Lego game like
That's good. That's good. I like that. I like that a lot. No, it's like that. That was like
yeah,
that's quality joke. I'm a big
messy,
fan.
yeah.
Yep.
I'd be very interested if there was like you know the humor of the early Lego games.
Yeah, of course.
Like that, where they just take it like way over the top.
Yeah.
I want those as like gameplay mechanics.
I
And
played Lego
like,
Island
I
and
want a
stuff. Yeah.
sports title where I like charge into somebody and like rip them to shreds.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I don't know. I'd like
They could
it.
be unique gameplay mechanics that you couldn't explore in
Sure.
FIFA.
Yeah. I think more realistically though is like what we saw with 2K Drive is essentially this is Lego going, hey, we overcharge a shitload for our plastic stuff. Let's overcharge for it in digital form as well, where we don't even have to manufacture that shit. Get those
Yeah. All right.
microtransactions in there.
Yeah. It'll be replacing FIFA's ultimate cards with minifigs.
I would pay that though. I would pay for minifigs.
Many transactions. Yeah.
P5
Yeah.
please.
I'm very. No, I can't say. I can't say anything about it.
Yeah, I think yeah. I'm not. I mean, like I haven't really enjoyed a Lego game in a long time because they've been very, very formulaic. I appreciate them for what they do. But combining Lego with a sports title makes me even less interested, to be honest. And yeah, it's just gonna be rife with microtransactions.
As
I think it's gonna be too much sport, not enough Lego. Unless like David said, that they make it like Blitz the League, where you can like run into someone so fast they explode or whatever, and you can, give you guys
Oh, like
steroids.
a NBA Jam kind of
Exactly,
deal.
yeah. Boom shakalaka, exactly.
I
I
mean,
will
they've already
get.
done it in the title, so.
I will just say that Lego, in terms of a gaming sense, is exploring newer opportunities
Sure, that doesn't
through
surprise me.
pitches.
Yeah, I could see that. And
That's where I'm leaving that.
I'm just thinking about how painful it would be to kick a football made of Lego. Would not advise.
Jeez. Yep, fair point. I know. I'm curious.
Yeah.
I imagine it would go and like you'll drop in price pretty quickly. So.
This is going to be a really
Interesting.
quick one. Braid is coming to is being ported next year over to modern consoles, which is really cool. It's being ported, but also like redone with like brand new art and like new content and like behind the scenes stuff. Like they're doing a full thing for it, which looks really, really cool.
Yeah, no,
Yeah.
it's good.
It's insane to think of 15 years ago because I remember playing that game like it was
Look,
yesterday.
I think a couple of weeks ago they listened to the podcast because we talked about how we didn't really care if this came back.
Yeah. I said, I'm pretty sure I said I'd be happy if it came back as long as they had better achievements.
Yeah, it's like I'm happy not having to play this game to the completion again.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
I still
Yeah,
have that
whole
one
dev cycle
achievement.
was lost.
Yeah.
I want
Yes.
that. I already have that memory burned of that level burned in my mind. I'm happy where it is, so.
I'm very curious to see what they do with it though. Like what how they like define improvements, et cetera, et cetera. Like I'm
It
yeah.
is, yeah.
So on top of the original game, Anniversary Edition includes repainted graphics by the game's artist, David Hellman, along with new sounds and soundtrack variants, fresh animations for a smoother experience. As seen in the trailer, you also have the ability to switch back and forth between the original game and the Braid Anniversary Edition as you're playing. I want to ask you guys, do you, like, how do you find that mechanic as a gimmick? Like being able to swap between original version and a remaster?
I think it's a waste of time, but I understand why they do it. It's to basically make sure that the purists are happy with it and they don't get complaints.
It's been beneficial for Halo when I've been doing speedrunning stuff because seeing the original map.
So I was thinking about something yesterday on a walk that I was doing, and I'm like, the Metal Gear Solid Collection is called the Master Collection because it's the original games in the original, as close to the original form as possible. They obviously didn't put any fucking effort into it.
No, they did not.
So as a Master Collection, you think it would be as close or the original build.
Yeah.
So it's just like, if that's something that they wanted to retain, obviously it would have to at least run the way the old games did, but it doesn't.
For the Metal Gear Solid stuff, though, the extras menu and all that with all the bonus content is really cool.
100% doesn't include twin snakes, which would have been, you know, another.
But oh, I mean, like all the guides and that kind of stuff, though, is really phenomenal.
Digital Foundry pointed out that if you had a European copy, it started in European mode. Basically, and you had to download the North American version of it. The European mode runs in 50 hertz, like the original.
I was going to say, that's definitely true to the original. Yeah, fuck.
So, and they had to download the other version of it. So. So I was wondering on that, were they going to actually do a Metal Gear Solid remastered?
Well, they are remaking 3.
They are remaking. They're basically going to remake everything. Yeah, pretty much. They're going to remake everything for sure. So that they retain, like, the rights as much as possible to the build and the gameplay and the new builders, the new build with the new people. So
Konami's going to do its very best to turn that franchise into the ground.
I'm interested to see what Delta looks like. 3 is my favorite Metal Gear, as I talked about last week.
Delta's the one game though that I'm definitely going to wait from reviews for.
Oh, 100%. I don't trust Konami at all. But
that porting studio, I don't think has done anything in the past.
Yeah, I mean, like, so far what we've seen looks interesting, but also like, it looks like an upscale port job, kind of like they're redoing.
Yeah.
It's definitely not like a full remake like Resident Evil 4 is, for example. I think.
Which is what that game deserves.
100%. That's what the whole series deserves, really.
Yeah. I'd love a Metal Gear Solid 1 remake.
I would love that. It definitely needs it, to be honest. I'm definitely interested in seeing Braid. I mean, I'm wondering if the extra content basically is just you open a door and it turns into the witness because Jonathan Blow just can't stop jerking off over himself. But I don't know. Like, I'll look at the achievement list. Let me put it that way.
Yeah,
it's going to be exactly the same.
It's going to be
better. Fucking not be
one to one.
That fucking speed run.
So, and there'll be an aspect ratio difference between the old graphics and the new graphics.
True.
And you'll be completely fucked.
Yeah, that's very true.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, but I'm definitely going to check that. But that's apparently April 30th next year. So, about 6 months away. And then I guess the biggest news, the worst kept secret in gaming, Grand Theft Auto 6 is a thing.
What happened to that kid after he got arrested?
Yeah, right. So the hacker. Yeah.
Wonder if they've like actually prosecuted him yet.
Definitely. So apparently, Bloomberg's reported that GTA 6 reveal was happening. Rockstar said that they're going to have a new trailer for it early next month.
And don't you love when the amount of hype that your announcement can generate?
An announcement for an announcement, basically.
Yeah.
Not showing the trailer.
Sets the internet on fire. Fuck's sake.
Yeah, to the point where I was seeing some tweets. I'm not quite sure who from, where websites were basically, I think it might have been Jez, we're putting up fake specs of what GTA 6 would actually run at, where no one knows. No one knows.
Yeah, they put on like fake splash screens with like the date on, with the fake dates on them and stuff, because it's like, hey, well, they only care about clicks.
Well, there was that original tweet, and then Xbox like winking at them or something, and people thinking that's code for exclusivity.
Yeah, which is like, what?
It's like, come on, like I would very
look, aliens building the pyramids is more fucking likely than that. Come on. Microsoft got a lot of money, but they ain't fucking paying. They ain't paying GTA 6 exclusively.
Let me go and get my full hat.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine, I guess, what would happen in a world where Xbox had GTA 6 exclusivity.
I still probably wouldn't play it, so whatever. No, it would be actually be insanity.
Because like that's the one game, like the rest of my family aren't gamers, but that's the one game that they will religiously buy.
That's the game that keeps on selling.
Yeah. It's just like they want to treat it as a sandbox, and you can, so. But
yeah, I guess my question is, are you guys interested? Obviously we haven't seen anything yet, but their announcement of a trailer. Well, I'm sure we'll watch the trailer in a month or so.
Yeah. I mean, we already know enough about it. Yeah. We know it's going to be like a Bonnie and Clyde thing and all that kind of stuff, and like we're only really going to see probably what we already know about it.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm more interested.
Hopefully, a bit further along than when we last saw it.
Yeah. When I will probably end up playing it anyway, but I probably won't be interested until it comes out. So
yeah. I'm in two minds about it, because I really think I really enjoy the story campaign of it, but then GTA 5 with the online mode kind of just ruined my perception of the franchise.
I spent a long time playing GTA online quite happily with the regular people that I had to play with that on the 360, and then moving over to the one. By the time I was on the one with it, I didn't have those people to play it with. It was, you know, I dealt with it quite well.
I mean, the amount of people though that I know that love GTA roleplay is just absolute insanity. But yeah, online to me just really doesn't like interest me. I'd much rather that tight, really interest, like GTA 5 story was
for the most part, pretty good. Yeah.
And then the acting from, having a character like Trevor in there, and then I guess seeing the exact same character essentially in Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul.
I mean, like, I've always really enjoyed the campaigns for the GTA games. Like, I played 3 and Vice City and San Andreas, and like, I played those games to death. I have no interest in any online bullshit.
You played 1?
I played 1 and 2 back in the day. Yeah, on the original PlayStation.
One was interesting with the top down view.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, like, yeah.
It wouldn't hold up now, but.
No, like, it doesn't.
I was never just very good nostalgic. At that.
Yeah, no, I never really understood the appeal, to be honest.
The camera was way too close to the car. Like, you just needed to be a lot more panned out.
Two was a little better in that regard. But
yeah.
I mean, they you know, I also played like what Chinatown Wars when they came out on, was like the DS.
Yeah, I think it was DS.
Yeah, like I remember playing that as well and being like quite interested in kind of that kind of going back to that sort of style of game. But yeah, like. But I know it's going to, like, I would love to, if they just did, like, hey, we're just going to release a single player as a single list and you can just pay the single player and then have online be a completely separate entity. Because that's my other question, is that what is going to happen to the existing GTA Online when this comes out? Like, are they going to do GTA Online 2.0? Okay, are they going to try and, like, just weld them together? Like,
they've got that Game Pass subscription service now that includes GTA.
Yeah, they do.
So I imagine it would still be supported for a little bit.
Sure.
Like, but probably like a 2 to 3 year period, and then it would eventually just become, you know, discontinued.
I imagine but I guess my question is like, is it going to be like they're just going to move everyone over to the new system? They're just like, hey, we're just going to move everything. Or is it going to be, hey, you have to make a decision, you have to restart? Like, because I imagine quite a few people are probably not going to be hugely happy about the fact that they spent all this money on the original game, on the original online.
But then at the same time, like, what's the timeline for that game? 10 to
and
they
yeah,
should do
10
a
years, something
they
like that.
should do a Fortnite thing, and they should have like, we're going to build this whole extra map in this map, and then eventually the old map will disappear in a wormhole. But and if everyone's not on this other
Jeez.
map, then you're God. The character's goodbye. So,
I mean,
100 Grand Theft Autos jump out of a plane.
jeez. The trend at the moment is everybody on Twitter is doing what I looked like back when GTA 5 released compared to now. I mean, to me, it's like Destiny 1 to Destiny 2. It's going to
Yeah,
be the
but
case. They're going to be a different platform. You're still going to have your old stuff.
yeah, but like that, I feel
okay,
like
eventually bought by Sony and run to the ground. Great.
yeah, right.
I mean,
Well, I was going to
Sony
say,
wish they could buy Zed
yeah,
2.
right. But I think that like I feel like it can't be that, because I feel like that is the perfect example of how not to do it, basically. Is because they basically fucked it, where they were like, well, Destiny 2 came out, and then afterwards they were like, okay, we're not doing a Destiny, like, we're gonna just Destiny 2 free, we're gonna free to play this shit, and we're gonna just keep adding expansions to it, and we're just gonna keep going on the platform. I'm sure they'll do like a Destiny 3 at some stage, but I imagine that will be like more like an Overwatch 2.0 kind of thing.
I don't even know if they will do Destiny 3 now because of Marathon.
We'll see.
They
Well,
may just completely swap to another thing.
we'll see. I don't know, but Destiny's what
Yeah.
brings in their money at the moment.
It, I mean, it does raise a really good question, though, like what these live support platforms should look like moving forward. Like, what do you do to a consumer that spent a whole bunch of money on your product to keep them attracted moving them onto a new platform?
You gotta have some
Well,
good reason, I guess.
the commercial aspect is money, the life aspect is time. So, I mean, are you buying people, are you taking people's money or are you taking people's time? So,
But I mean, like, if you have bought every expansion pack for something like Destiny, you're sure to jump on the next thing unless Bungie's
something
done
really
something
bad,
really to.
which they haven't. To be fair, Lightfall was not well, super well received, but
That's the problem though. Like everybody pre-ordered Lightfall. They had
and now
really
no
good
one wants
sales
to play the final
projection, and
shape.
then nobody, yeah.
So
I think
I feel,
GTA will be a different story though.
yeah, oh, definitely. I get the feeling like, and also like we're talking like the orders of magnitude in terms of size between those two things. I really feel like this is going to be like, hey, we're moving to a new platform. We'll port everything over for you. You just need, like, you don't even have to do anything. You
They'll
just port
slap
into the new.
you, they'll tell you you're gonna take it
Yeah,
because it is
well,
Rockstar.
like, if they were going to be real dicks about it, they'd be like, yeah, also, you need to pay us like $10 to move us you over. Or it's like, hey, fuck you. You got to pay us. You have to buy all your things all over again and start from
So
scratch.
what are the birth rates like but in the 15 years since Grand Theft Auto is 20 years, is it? I don't know. How long is this?
15 years? Yeah.
That this game has been out. So like we've got 15-year-olds, that we've just been
A lot less of
born
them,
into the
considering how the
world.
birth
Like
rates have been falling everywhere.
So I don't
Less
know, they're just
consumers.
being
I would not be surprised. They'll just tell them that there's a new system and people just need to jump on.
Yeah, but I imagine they'll move everything over as much as they can
They
because
were able to move people
I,
over
it's
from the
rocks. It's
360.
exactly.
It's
So
Rockstar though. It's
yeah,
all at
but
the back end.
there's
It's
so
fine.
much, there's so
So,
much money involved, and the thing is that
yeah.
like this just gives you more opportunity to sell you more things, right? And I feel like they got to strike that balance between completely fucking over the consumer to get their money or getting
Yeah.
some goodwill for the largest game of all time. Yeah, I don't know. All right,
It'll be interesting.
what's this about AI?
Oh, you're not going to talk about the movie adaptations?
Oh yeah, I guess we could talk about that.
AI.
Just to quickly discuss it, Take-Two has explained why. So they've been talking about a GTA film for quite a while, or like a TV show. They said it's seemingly unlikely to be announced anytime soon. Essentially, they're looking for the right studio to partner with that's going to be able to take it on. Take-Two CEO Strauss Zelnick said the company is taking a very, very selective and very careful approach to adapting its properties for film or TV. While the Borderlands and BioShock movies are currently in the works, and he said they're discussing further adaptations, the company is wary of damage and misfire could do to its brands. I mean, Borderlands has been delayed how many times now?
Yeah, a bunch. And the actor strike only just ended today. So
I love it that the actor strike ended today, and then immediately we got Inside Out trailer, sorry, Inside Out 2 trailer, and there was another announcement.
Well, they just announced apparently there's going to be a new Legend of Zelda live action movie.
Oh yeah, that was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then Illumination just immediately came out and said we're not doing anything with it. It's like they said it's live action. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, but they also now said that apparently the Mario movie is now the start of a franchise that they're planning on doing, which is no surprise.
I would be incredibly surprised if they didn't do Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah, it's going to be a Super Smash Brothers situation. They'll just make thing with every character and then put all the characters in a movie. Yep.
100%. And I will fucking watch it. I will watch them do the subspace emissary thing that they did in Brawl.
And then they'll do a special that teaches kids not to smoke or vape. So
swing your arm from now. Side to side.
Pikachu on the Super Mario Brothers. Pikachu on the Super Smash movie will be Detective Pikachu.
Yeah, calling sure. Yeah, you know, Detective. Yeah, absolutely. Surfing Pikachu, Detective Pikachu. Yeah, let's do it. I feel like a GTA movie is like the snake eating itself, right? Because like so much of GTA in its history has been essentially making video games out of movies, but just not saying the name of the movie. Like fucking San Andreas is essentially just like Boys in the Hood, Juice. Like it's every fucking, you know, gangster, like, like 90s.
It's the pop culture references. Like we were wondering in the early days of talking about GTA 6. It's like, what are they going to reference?
Yeah.
You know, like all of the gender movements and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. That's going to get them, you know,
I mean, like, to be fair, Rockstar
to new places, I guess, but you know,
they've always been like well written and I've always enjoyed the satire.
Yeah. Yeah.
The world has definitely got more ridiculous since.
Five. It's like, how can you top like Trump?
Strauss was actually, he spent 4 years as president and chief operating officer of 20th Century Fox.
Mm.
And he also served as vice president of international television for Columbia Pictures. Mm. So obviously there's why he wants such a high bar for it.
100%. And GTA is the video game brand, right? Like we were saying. So I feel like, I missed it. Because you don't want this to turn into like just another like heist movie. That's the thing, is that like you can't release a GTA movie and have it just be okay.
To me, it would have to, you know, honestly, I would see it being something like Breaking Bad.
Yeah, but I guess my point is that like, what is it about, how does GTA like how does that translate into a movie? When I say, okay, think of GTA, first thing you think of is like, okay, crazy people going on a rampage, typing in some cheats to drop a tank into there and just driving over people and just causing mayhem, stealing cars, obviously, getting into a helicopter. And then after five is like getting into a heist, getting into like a gangster story. Like
this is 100%. This is 100% like the quickest summary ever.
Yeah.
But I think of Baby Driver with a very serious tone.
Yeah, well, I guess so.
But okay. What about the Need for Speed movie? Which is basically both of those things.
Yeah, actually, that's
true, we need Rami Malek.
Not a terrible, like, there are things in the middle of our life, Cameron, actually, really good, but
I think the problem with Need for Speed is it's a good movie, but it's very forgettable.
Oh, it's hugely forgettable, yeah.
And this is the thing, like, something like Grand Theft Auto would have to have, like, a very serious tone, have to carry a lot of, like, you know, heavy weight to it.
I guess the thing with GTA is that GTA needs to be like a tone piece. And so because the problem with GTA is that you don't really have characters for GTA, right? Like, I mean, like you do obviously, like, you know, in the third game, you've got Claude, you've got Tony Vercetti and Vice City. And also I was like talking about like references, like Vice City is literally a reference to Miami Vice. Like the game is literally Miami Vice mixed with Scarface. That's literally the entire fucking game. And so it's like, you're like, oh, I'm going to make a movie. It's like, so you're just going to make Scarface again.
I mean, GTA is that though. Like it is 100% more about the setting than it is about the plot.
For sure. And I get the feeling that works in a video game where you get to play, you get to self-insert for some part. I mean, obviously there's story characters and stuff, right? But you get to, the majority of you is just playing the game, doing your own actions. Whereas like in a movie, that doesn't really work.
Yeah.
It's the same reason why, like, I was always weird about like a BioShock movie. It's like, the original Bioshock is fantastic, but the main character, like, you play a silent protagonist.
I mean, like the perfect thing to do would have been to the people who were acting, the actual actors that were in those like GTA 3 and stuff like that. It's like it would be perfect to bring all of them together, and it'd be even more self-referential, referential. But I mean, Ray Liotta's, you know,
Ray
and
Liotta
then
definitely,
like these guys, they've got to get on it quick, otherwise they're all gonna just fall out. So, but I mean, like it's stuff like that where if you can reference the references that made the series great, then you're on the money. But you know,
I
otherwise you're
know.
just, yeah, doing Miami
Like,
Vice again. So.
I think you could explore it a few different ways. You could do the San Andreas like returning home kind of route.
But again, but so what I was saying is that like that is literally just Boys in the
Yeah,
Hood. Like you
those
just like you
are.
are essentially just remaking those like ghetto 90s movies. And
But
it's like
there's the thing, like you think of like the differences between each GTA, they focus on a different kind of
well, there are different
like
time
they
periods, right? That was the whole thing where it was like because GTA 3 was like 2001, like turn of the millennium. Vice City was obviously the 80s and Neon, and then San Andreas was 92. And then you get into like four, for example, like
Four is interesting to me.
four would actually work really well as a movie, I think, because you get the whole like immigrant, like Eastern European immigrant coming to America, getting involved in crime, trying to stay out of the life, but also like, you know, being lied to by his brother and getting deeper and deeper into shit and just kind of because like he never became like a fucking massive kingpin or anything, right? Like Niko Bellic was kind of like his own thing. And he had his own story, and like that's why I like four had that much more like serious tone for it. I mean, obviously it had a sense of humor and fucking Roman calling you to go bowling every 5 seconds. But
I mean,
yeah, like I feel
even with five though, like the I think the downside of I guess doing a movie or a television adaptation is five let you explore the multiple endings kind of route.
And the fact that I had three protagonists and they obviously had into some
They
into.
intersected.
Intersected, but they still had a lot of separate stuff. And like that's the kind of thing where it's like that's more like, you know, like The Wire or something, right? Where you're like watching like a season of television, and that would like work, I think, quite interestingly for that. And like you kind of see like where they cross over and where they don't.
Kind of makes me wonder, like with GTA 6, if they've decided to do two protagonists to kind of like narrow it in a little bit.
So
Draw it back.
the Barbie movie did it perfect then.
Yes, actually, yes. That's
There was a
very
co
accurate, yeah. I mean,
well.
Barbie movie did so well that Mattel's looking at doing a whole bunch of different. I kind of get like, you know what? One of my favorite movies growing up was Toy Soldiers.
I love that movie. I mean, the movie is bad, but I love it.
It
I've
is
never seen it. I've
100%.
never
It's
seen it.
such a
I think I
good.
was a little bit too old for that
Every now
one.
and then, I just think of that scene where he's trying to clean up after the toys rampage of that, and his dad's like, he's like, oh yeah, I was cleaning the mast on the ship, and I broke. He's like, what were you cleaning with, like a fucking mallet? Like he snapped it in half. Yeah, that movie's great. Where the basis of the plot of the movie is that someone's like, hey, I want to like make these kids' toys like walk and talk and stuff, and he accidentally basically puts like AI, like military AI chips into them for like killing robots, and so they come to life and try to kill everything. It's a very like
Right,
90s.
okay.
So ahead of its time.
It's great. I love it.
That and the Indian in the cupboard were
Indian in the
like two of
cupboard's
my
great.
favorite movies growing up.
Read the books. The books were good.
Yeah, I should.
But
Welcome to the
yeah,
movie podcast.
yes. I mean, this again, like
Just, I mean,
yeah.
I just rewatched James and the Giant Peach last weekend.
Oh my God.
It holds up surprisingly well.
Weird movie.
But such a fucking weird movie.
But like, yeah, I'd be very interested to see kind of what direction they go with it. Like it because the big thing about five was kind of the heists. That's the kind of thing I remember a lot of that. Is that like being
Well,
like the heist thing and setting up for heists?
Five was meant to get story DLC as well, and they immediately cancelled it as soon as we got online.
As soon as
It's
online
another thing
took
that I
off, yeah.
really hate on line four.
But I guess yeah, we'll see. I mean, but I understand them being very hesitant because I feel like the concept is a bit more complex than your standard video game movie, which is like adapt this for the screen.
Be
Make
very
Mario
interesting.
say wahoo. All right.
I feel like Illumination hit it on the.
Oh, 100%. Like I enjoyed the movie a lot, but
They did. Well, I mean, looking at Mario, Super Mario Wonder, the Mario Brothers, the new game that came out, you have a look at some of the eye work that have been done in the characters, like even on the cover of that. And I'm like, that looks like it could have been from the movie. Like, there's a little bit of extra life in the characters now. They actually feel like they have like behaviors and attitudes.
I've also
And
heard
like,
the game is amazing.
yes.
I Christmas present.
Nice. All right, Cameron, tell me about AI.
All right, so I guess this next one is essentially Xbox has partnered with InWorld to build AI game dialogue and narrative tools at scale. So they're going to do a multi-year deal with InWorld to essentially build it up. They said the goal of the partnership is to create new state-of-the-art tools for multi-platform developers of all sizes. Together, we will aim to achieve an accessible, recognizable, sorry, responsible design multi-platform AI tool set to assist and empower creators in dialogue, story, and quest design. The tool set will include an AI design co-pilot that assists and empowers game designers to explore more creative ideas, turning prompts into detailed scripts, dialogue trees, quests, and more, and an AI character runtime engine that can be integrated into the game client, enabling entirely new narratives with dynamically generated stories, quests, and dialogue for players to experience. So pretty much InWorld hit the headlines in August after a Grand Theft Auto 5 mod let players talk to NPCs using its generative AI platform. I saw this one earlier on Twitter this week. Yeah, some people are not happy about this, and I can understand why. I think this is one of those things that could potentially take jobs away. But at the same time, when explored correctly, it could be a toolkit to further develop great ideas.
I was going to say, like, I work in automation, right? So,
You can
like,
go out of the way.
it's the thing where it's like, I very much need me to do my job. Like tools can't do my job for me, but they definitely help me do my job a lot in terms of like being able to build things and that sort of stuff. And like, I really feel like this is kind of what they're aiming for currently, but we all know that in a capitalist society, they want to automate everything and remove as many jobs as possible. So,
The
but it's
narrative
also like,
designers for projects are one of the.
The AI stuff is generally built around, like, I mean, there are obviously companies that are building their own images and then filtering that through the AI, and then that's what's appearing in the programs.
Which is
So, I
what they kind
mean,
of have to do legally.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, like, if they're doing it in particular styles and stuff like that, it's generating based on the styles that they're filtering it through. So, or if it may be reactive based on user experience or something like that, then I mean, yeah,
Mean,
so.
I know Rockstar were said that they were interested in exploring stuff like this to help with storylines, but I don't know. To me, I'm like very much leaning on the side of caution just because narrative designers are such a hard done by crowd already.
Oh, for sure. Like, it's really fucked that the AI is the first thing AI comes for is the arts, the arts of the creatives, as opposed to the what you'd think it would come for. But I know what you mean, and especially with like we talked about the SAG-AFTRA strike ending today, and they got in their demands they were like, hey, there's a lot of AI stuff in there. I'd be very interested to see from a video game perspective if that will follow in a similar trend around restrictions around where AI can be used in video games and likenesses and voices and all that kind of stuff.
I'm really worried about the likenesses, like having for somebody to potentially sign over just for stuff to be used in the future.
Yeah, in perpetuity.
Yeah, I thought it'd be a quick one just to quickly touch on. I mean, good if it's used correctly, horrible if it's used incorrectly. And in terms of other stories, the only other thing I have is Far Cry 6 will no longer receive any updates. Ubisoft has come out, said officially via their Far Cry Twitter account that the game's online services would continue, but there will be no further patches. Thanks to the millions of players who joined the fight, your adventures can continue in the era without interruption of online services. However, the dev team will no longer be making any updates. We appreciate your passion, creativity, and love of chorizo. The little sausage jog that they had. Even Anton is proud. We know they're currently developing a Far Cry 7 and a standalone multiplayer game that is going to run off their Snowdrop engine and should launch roughly 2025. Far Cry 6 was a miss.
I was gonna say, honestly, I didn't even play it, and like I played pretty much every other Far Cry.
No, I've heard. Well, I mean, it might have been a miss, but I've heard like good things about it.
I mean,
so,
it's
I
a
mean,
very
like, there are...
it's long and difficult compared. Like closest comparison is two.
Yeah, and it has
you know
six,
everybody's opinion.
Six DLC packs they released for it.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, put out a Game of the Year edition, even though it didn't win any of the Game of the Year.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, No one's done that before.
I mean, look, like I enjoyed five for the most part. Like I definitely was pretty much done with the formula, but like five was like I enjoyed five just kind of as like a mindless game.
I'm more interested in them doing like the Avatar. Like if I get to have the chance to explore different takes on the formula, that might freshen it up a little bit. But at the same time, I'm very interested to see how long Avatar is a game. Ubisoft Plus is caught my attention. Like I did a month to play the Crew Motor Fest. I did that. And then I did a month to do Assassin's Creed Mirage. I've completed two games, which doesn't usually happen.
I was going to say, that is surprising. I was actually thinking of potentially chucking some money on that when Avatar comes out so I can just do all three of those.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, Mirage isn't a great game, but it's still probably one of the games that I enjoyed most this year. I could see it topping some people's Game of the Year list, even though I think there are better titles out there. But
well, I feel like we're getting toward, like, I think that, you know, with all the Game of the Year nominees realistically being out, I think we're probably getting pretty close to that discussion.
It was funny. I was just like, wait a minute, Golden Knight launched this year.
It did, technically.
I need to sneak that into my list somewhere. How do I justify that?
It did come out.
I'm just gonna say Dredge five times.
Dredge is good. Dredge is very good. All right, let's get into Game Pass updates. Cameron, you want to read those off?
All right. So on November 9th, we had Dungeons 4, Like a Dragon Gaiden, The Man Who Erased His Name, which I'm very interested in, but there has been some interesting discussion about the English voice actor Fikiru.
Really? Oh, I mean, I played in Japanese anyway. So
well, isn't that Yong Ye?
Yeah.
YouTuber?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I mean, So
I've seen a few comments about it.
What kind of takes have you seen so far?
Mostly negative, but I haven't delved too deep into it myself. Like I'm very interested to play the game. I'll just play it in English. That's fine.
I'm definitely gonna play it in Japanese, but yeah, I'm with you.
But yeah, are you definitely gonna play Like a Dragon?
I might do actually. I was looking at the achievement list and it looks somewhat more this game looks like it's going to be a slightly smaller like
experience.
Yes, it's not, it doesn't look like it's going to be the 120 hour kind of thing, but we'll see. I it's on my maybe list.
You get a taste of it and then you'll be addicted to the series.
The big problem is that like there's too much in the game that it's like it's hard to like, if one part is bad then you're kind of ruining a lot of the rest of that game, unfortunately. For me. And so, and I think a lot of those, like, oh, they're like, some people complain about like the management stuff of Zero and that kind of stuff, where it's like, okay, this.
I think the management stuff's great. I think it's just a repetition between like you doing all the mini games and that between each game to get.
Yeah, like I don't really want to have to do the fucking karaoke mini game, you know, and get like super good at it. Anyway,
if the games were just very much solely on the story and then raising your rank or there's one of the mini games in Kiwami 2, I believe, is the managing the bar one.
Right.
That one's really good. Like, that's the kind of experience. I don't want to do a sports-related mini game.
Sure, yeah. Like, but I mean, that's the charm of these games, right? Is that you could just like, hey, yeah, you're a Yakuza, but also you get into like, you get really into like model.
It is a sandbox.
Or into the like, the slot car thing or whatever. It's why I haven't played Ishin either, because I'm just like, I just don't, I don't have time for it. And even if I did, I'd probably get stuck in quite a few spots. Anyway, keep going.
Wild Hearts also hitting EA Play on November 9th.
I'm thinking about maybe doing this one.
Wild Hearts is like 80 hours, I believe.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of like Monster Hunter, but not quite to the ridiculous extent that like World is.
I mean, I guess the reassuring thing is if you do start at the, there's no more content updates.
Yeah, you know,
pretty much
done,
confirmed that they're done.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
November 13th, we have Spirit Tea, which is the Stardew Valley kind of looking one.
Yeah, Allison's super excited for that.
Yeah. Achievement list is out on TA. I think there's an S rank achievement for karaoke in this as
Okay.
well.
All right.
Something to take note of. Coral Island, which I'm interested in. And then November 17th, we have Persona 5 Tactica. And my favorite thing for the month is Rollerdrome coming out November 28th.
That looks really good.
Yeah. This was one of SkillUp's favorite indie games of last year. Mm-hmm. I'm very keen. Leaving Game Pass, we have Coffee Talk, which I would very highly recommend playing if you haven't had the chance to already. Exapunks, which is another of the Zachtronix games. I would personally avoid it. I mean, you can do 90% of this with a guide, but then the hack match will destroy your hands. Mm-hmm. I've said it before. I did not have a good time with that. Ghost Song, Matt said you mostly
it's okay. If you really want to play Metroidvania, it's an okay one. It's not super long. You will need to do like two playthroughs, but it's let me put it this way. I didn't enjoy it as much as I enjoyed Moonscars last month.
Gun Grave Gore, pretty much the same opinion. I would very much avoid it.
No, there's nothing really redeeming about that game. It's just really boring. It's not difficult, but it's just a slog.
Football Manager 2023, Windows and console. I mean, if you haven't started already, you may as well just jump onto Football Manager 2024. It's the same thing that happens every year. We lose one and we gain another. Lappin, I think you can pretty much avoid. And then Townscaper, I would highly recommend because it is a very quick 10-minute completion.
It's nice and relaxing too.
Yeah. Beautiful art style to it.
But, all right, let's get into what we've been playing then. Oh, Liza P. Who's been playing Liza P?
Oh, I wonder
Cameron.
Who.
Cameron. So I've been playing it again, actually. So I'm finally getting back to the third and final at this stage playthrough of the game just to kind of get the last achievement I need because I have to I missed one of the response things that I needed to get with Alidoro. It basically became my stream game for the week. So I needed something to keep me back into gear. It was always planned as my third playthrough would be the basically my stream game, and I've done like a lot of hours this week. Just did by the days off that I've had of just during the day, I've just been like, right, I'm gonna sit down, I'm gonna do this stuff, you know. Done everything else I need to do for the day. I'm gonna sit down and do like a good stream. So I'm about one area away from the achievement I need, but one of my streams I spent 2.5 hours on the King of Puppets. I'm like every single time it was like, there's nothing wrong with this boss, and the Aegis Shield makes it like easy,
a lot easier,
so much easier. But the Romeo is so predictable in that second phase that all like you don't need the Aegis Shield or anything for the first phase at all for the King of Puppets, but he has so many moves that are sporadic that are done one after the after another that you just basically get, you have good matches, you have bad matches. So, I mean, the final one I did was basically a perfect run. It was get in there. I still had my, what do you call him? The little dude that you can, the AI dude that you can get. Your
summon, Stardust.
The summon, basically.
The Phantom.
Yeah, so I basically had a Phantom with half a health at the end of Romeo. And I'm like, what the hell?
Wow.
It's like, you have a perfect run. And then that's it. But there's just so much stuff that went wrong with the King of Puppets every single time. I just spent 2 hours on him. So, you know, it was,
Talking about stuff they have to, like, back to your original question of like stuff we have to repeat, that's one of those fights where it's like, you get through the King of Puppets relatively easily, but every time you got to do that first phase.
And like I just finished the Swamp Monster. That's a little bit later. It's getting close to the end of the game.
That's
Swamp actually Monster. Actually not terrible. My
that second phase
through,
really fucked me up.
Yeah, I get it. So there's a couple of things that you have to do in that second phase where you just kind of have to watch for a specific move and then just step back.
Yeah.
But then that was also another one. It's like when you get a perfect run, you get a perfect run. And it's just like, well, it's all over. So, I still really like the game. It's still pretty much my game of the year. Like, I really, really like, because I haven't played many other 2023 games realistically, so it's on my list. But yes, and like, I'm still going through this third playthrough, and I don't even care how long I have to spend on the bosses. I am still having a great time. So,
What have you got left after the swamp? Because that is very close towards the end, right?
yeah, you go back into the train station. I finished that. I basically got to
Oh
the end of
yeah.
the train station and
That's it, pretty much, right? Because
went
yeah,
to
well
the
you
went to the Stargazer that's there. And then once I go through the city one more time, just to the next area will be where it's all.
Yeah, be the boss and then you get to the fight. Yeah, right, you get to where Elodoro is, yeah.
Some other stuff is happening, Elidori stuff, and then, but because I'm doing it on stream, I will go right through to the Puppet Master and stuff like that, just because, see, I'm
For
doing the
sure.
game, I might as well. So it's just to see what it's like that third time around. So,
Are
but yeah.
you finding that stat increase, like the difficulty versus stat increase, is really hitting you towards the end of the game there?
Yep, I'm pretty much just chucking it anywhere because there's no way, like, it's not getting me anything new.
Yeah. I
So,
really hope they
like,
address that with the DLC.
yeah,
They do
there's.
something.
I mean, it, when you go and defeat certain enemies and open certain chests, you get the amulets again. And, like, in the second playthrough, you're getting plus one for certain things. In the second play, a third playthrough, you're getting plus two. But it's
Oh,
all
okay.
random. It's
Yeah.
not, you're not even getting on a plus two, like a two times new game plus walkthrough, guaranteed two plus amulets.
Right.
So there's a couple of really, really good ones that I've got there, but then the rest of it is just bog standard normal stat stuff. Then I've got like four of these normal amulets that are just useless to me, but then I have to get a couple of really good ones. So that's probably where they could address it without changing the stat stuff so much. If they just add some really good gear elements, or and just you could add something else to it. Like, I really wish that there was a collections page where you can go and parry and break every single enemy's weapon and then get like a version of their weapon or something just to kind of kick, or even like a trinket that gets added. Because, like bosses and stuff in Dark Souls, you cut off tails and you get a sword or whatever.
Yeah,
They
I
really
mean,
need something explorative in the game just to kind of kick that up a notch. And then that would really have like an extra element of plus stat, plus stat, plus stat, just from defeating normal enemies. That'd be
similar to what
really
they did with
good.
like the Surge, for example, was a great example of that, where it's like if
Yeah,
you
yeah.
attack certain
Yeah.
weak points, it's like, hey, I want his arm. I need that piece of for armor.
Yeah,
I'm literally just
exactly.
gonna cut his
Yeah.
fucking arm off until I get it.
Yeah. Well, if they're taking aspects of other Souls games, then
Yeah.
why not take that one?
That's a
That
great
would be
idea.
perfect. So, but
Hey,
yeah, that's where I'm
you're a
at.
puppet, I want that fucking arm. Exactly,
Yeah.
man.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I want to hear about RoboQuest. I've been hearing a little bit about this.
All right, so what's the best play to? All right, so I've started RoboQuest because my friend Island was looking for a co-op game to play with me, and he recommended Gotham Knights. So I downloaded Gotham Knights, and he just hasn't been around for it. Anyway, so we saw that RoboQuest got 1.0 achievement, so we decided to dive into it. And the best way to describe it is essentially Gunfire Reborn, the roguelike aspect of it, mixed with Borderlands.
Oh, okay.
So the FPS aspect of it is very Borderlands. It's that kind of art style. The gunplay feels good, but then the Gunfire Reborn aspect of it's a roguelite. You're going to get wrenches over time. You're going to upgrade like how much you can heal, how much you can get on a certain run. There's a lot of like secrets or alternative paths with this kind of stuff. There's six crystals you can get that make the final boss fight easier. And the thing that made me laugh the most, and I wouldn't consider this a spoiler based on what type of game it is, but when you finish Gunfire Reborn, you end up on the moon. When you finish RoboQuest, you end up on the moon.
Okay, right.
And it was the first thing I noticed. I'm just like, these two games just have so many similarities.
Yeah, okay.
But it's like, it's very enjoyable. The only downside to it is essentially the S rank. It's one of those S rank that you have to also do time management as well as the amount of XP you get from killing enemies
Right.
each level. And then there's an achievement for S ranking and finishing the game once. And there's an S ranking for Guardian, like rank 4 difficulty. In about 2 days, I've done about 450 game score.
Oh, okay.
So it's pretty, I think it's going to end up to be like an 80-hour completion based on estimates. There are achievements tying to you essentially using every gun in the game, and it's a randomizer kind of drop thing. There's a lot of mysteries where you can pick up, there's like these tiny little robots with red eyes, but then there's a secret green one in certain levels that you can pick up and use as a weapon. And there's an achievement for carrying that through the entire game. Like a gnome. Then there's like a second level that you can use it to open the door behind a waterfall. And then there's a little builder that can upgrade it to a fantastic weapon, which makes it just unbelievably powerful. There's a discovery mode in this, which is like 300% easy.
So you just kind of walk through it.
Yeah. You can do it for like essentially everything other than the difficulty-based achievement. So I think this is a game where they kept in mind that, all right, some people are going to clean up. They don't want to have to worry about the hard difficulty kind of aspect.
Yeah, right.
They can just run through it. Each robot has its own specific things. So, like, there's a shield for the first one. There's a second rocket for the second one. There's a teleport forward function for the third one. There's different aspects with the crystals where you can do, like, a speed run level where you got to defuse a bomb. And it's very, very tight. And then you've also got an achievement for doing the split second at the very end, which is it's not easy.
Right.
I got it like my fourth or fifth try, but it's been very enjoyable. And then I guess every time I've explored like a new route, it's kind of given me a new ticket system or a new key to open a different path. The only thing I think that is going to be a bit of an annoyance is the weapon, like using each individual weapon, finding out what I need. Hopefully people fill in a wiki just to give a good sense of it. And the other one is you have to collect like data pads in each level. So if you collect a data pad, it gives you free wrenches, and you know, it costs like the first a lot of the upgrades are like 8 wrenches each. And it moves on to 16 and then 20 and so forth. But yeah, each level will have the specific amount of wrenches, sorry, data pads that you've collected in it. And then essentially just have to get a buddy and go through. The co-op and it's fantastic, I will say. The only drawback is both of you have to have the same item if you're going to like use a key in the door. It's like a progression-based system.
Yeah.
It's like if one of you have the red key for a specific door like 2 levels in, it's not going to unlock until the other person gets it.
Right, okay.
But once you know the pattern to how to get these things, it becomes a lot easier.
You can't take shortcuts with someone who's already unlocked. Yeah. Gotcha, okay. That's interesting.
Because it's the kind of thing that I was thinking like earlier on the start, like, all right, cool, I think I could boost this for people if it got to that point. For the harder difficulty and all that, but I mean, if it's gated like that, you're not going to be able to.
You still have to get through it all. Yeah, gotcha.
But okay. I mean, for the people who have played Gunfire Reborn with me, it's very similar. Like, you know, 100 achievements essentially, working your way through. But it's like one more run kind of mentality. Even to the point that I was playing it up till just before the podcast started,
right.
My fifth crystal. That's RoboQuest.
I'll talk about two of my games just quickly. So I finally hit my 2.3 million and I found the perfect game for it. It's a stunner. Thanks Outright Games once again for providing some wonderful stuff. So it's Bratz Flaunt Your Fashion was the game that I picked for it. Not as painful as I thought it was going to be, actually. It is a relatively standard, like, go around and collect things game.
I've got to just applaud you for a second for going out of your way and being such a good friend to testing all these games for my 4-year-old daughter.
Yeah, she'll love this one. To be fair, this game is actually like, this is not the worst game I've ever played. It was fine. Like, it was completely inoffensive. It was relatively straightforward. You don't have to do everything in the game to get all the achievements. It's quite short. It's only like a couple of hours. It's like 3 hours maybe. The dialogue is actually like semi-funny, and someone with some creativity actually like wrote a couple of jokes for it. There's a part of the theater where there's a power outage or some shit. I think it's like one of the dancing troops couldn't make it. And it said, oh, this disaster happened because since we did that production of the Scottish play. And if you know anything about McMeth, you'll know why that's funny. And I was like, someone decided, yeah, okay. It was like, this is a Bratz game, but we're actually going to put some fucking jokes in here. Like, we're actually going to write some stuff for it. It was okay. Yeah. Like, I was like, all right. Like a perfect game for a milestone game for me. Easy to do. Didn't take too long. Painless, no glitches. Yeah.
How does this hold up as a, I guess one is an IP game and then two is an outright game?
As an IP game, I think it fits pretty well. Like, you play as one of the four main Bratz, I guess. Again, I don't know too much about the IP itself. But it's basically just like you walk around places and there's a collection of like kind of mini games you play around, like taking pictures or like a Guitar Hero style, like the notes come down, you got to hit the things at the right time, kind of very easy DDR sort of style.
So they've done the exact same thing as Paw Patrol.
Yeah, basically, yeah, of course.
Because Paw Patrol has that goddamn mini game that
Percy
will put it on and then just start dancing to the music. It's so funny to see that. Just like, yeah, cool.
Yeah, so like it was totally fine. But then
Is Bluey 2.4 or 2.5?
Probably 2.4. We'll see. Depends. Because Bluey's just come out, right? Or it's just coming out?
December for Xbox.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm not gonna hit 2.4 anytime soon. So
yeah.
I got a long way to go. But I did play something that I actually did enjoy quite a bit, as my kind of, so I finished, like I talked about earlier, I finished Resident Evil 4 plus the DLC, which stressed me out quite a bit because the pro mode is quite difficult. I won't get into it, but it was a lot. It took me a lot longer. It took me embarrassingly long to get through some of those segments. So I decided to play something to wind down. I played Jusant, which is Don't Nod's rock climbing game, basically. This is a really beautiful game. It is, again, not very long. It's maybe 6 hours or so, depending. There's like six chapters. You probably spend, the last chapter is a bit shorter, the first chapter is a bit longer. A lot of collectibles, so you will definitely need a guide for them.
Okay.
And there's like
missables or
not? No, you can chapter select at the end of the game. Like there's one achievement for you. Essentially have this ability to like do like a pulse to kind of show you where things are or to activate things. And like you basically need to like freeze 25 things in a single pulse, which is like you'll get it like partway through chapter three. And like I didn't get it my first playthrough because I just didn't think about it. So I had to replay like 15 minutes or so. So it's like, as long as you like are aware of like where some of these achievements are.
Yeah.
Just like if you look at the list and there's a guide for most of the stuff.
Were you using a guide for this, or was this kind of like one of those experiences like Cocoon where you just enjoy the story and clean
just
up?
Just like Cocoon. I just used like the collectible guide just to make sure I didn't miss anything from that perspective. But like not like again, this game is much less puzzly and more it's closer to a walking simulator. It reminds me a lot of, in a lot of ways, I don't know if you guys remember that, was that game Submerged or whatever it was, where it's like you're on a little boat and and like you're like in a submerged city or whatever, and like there's like skyscrapers and like you kind of,
I don't know that one. Yeah,
it was, yeah, I'm trying to remember, I think it was called Submerged. It was really Submerged, sorry,
I think I know the one you're talking about.
Submerged, there was a Screen Australia game. And so the whole thing was that like you were there with your brother and you're basically like in this flooded city and you're like the last survivors and you're just kind of like going around and picking up stuff and there aren't really
third person exploration based.
Yeah, this is very much the similar vein where it's like, hey, you again, I don't want to give too much away because a lot of the game is kind of like there's no dialogue. The text logs are all written. And so you get an idea of like what this world is, but essentially you wander in from this plane up to this giant tower and you basically want to climb to the top of it. And that's basically the gist of it. and kind of you learn about like what happened, why there are no people there anymore, how these people used to live. And it feels very much like an archaeological dig in that like you're kind of like discovering this culture by the remnants of what's left over and by the few little bits and pieces that you kind of pick up and you kind of draw your conclusions like, okay, so like these are kind of the jobs that they kind of used to have. And there were certain people who used to live higher up and they kind of had different kinds of jobs and different, like they were kind of like stratospheres and they have different like levels. And each kind of zone is a little bit different in terms of like some of the environmental stuff. The third chapter is very hot. Like you're on the, like the sun is beating down on you. So like your stamina drops quite fast, that sort of stuff. And so like plants will wilt and things like that. So you kind of have to do some timing stuff. There aren't really a lot of like puzzles. It's very much more like in that very like rock climby kind of way. It's like climbing the rock, figuring out where your next kind of handhold is and kind of just moving in that direction. It's quite forgiving. You basically just like left trigger, right trigger, left trigger, right trigger. But like you kind of have to like let it go for a couple of seconds to completely fall off. So like it's quite generous. It's a little bit janky because the game allows you to like jump, but also will not let you fall, quote unquote. Because essentially like anytime you go anywhere, you will automatically attach like a belay rope to like an anchor point.
Okay.
So it also means that like even if you want to do like a little hop, it can kind of get like confused or stuck because it's really trying to prevent you from falling or going off an edge. But it's also like, I just kind of want to jump and sometimes I got stuck. So it's a little bit janky. And also it's kind of like the kind of arm over arm thing and kind of the rope is kind of has its own physics. So, but overall really enjoyed it. It was a nice relaxing experience. But again, like it was one of those things where it's like a lot of it's up for interpretation in terms of like what the actual story is. And you got to kind of figure it out by context clues. It has kind of that vibe of like I said, Submerged or like Rime or those kinds of games.
Not what was the other one that came out earlier this year? Not Inside, like it's like a similar vein of Inside and Limbo and that, but not
Planet of Lana.
Nah, not Planet of Lana's in the same vein.
Yeah.
What was it? Somerville is the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, a little bit like that. Where like Somerville is like very much like things actively happening and you reacting to them. Yep. Whereas like this but is like, very much like. Like you feel like you've come into this place like way late. Like you're like there are no bodies, there are no people. There are just it feels like everyone's either like been raptured or something's happened.
Yeah,
and interesting.
You're basically just coming in, discovering this culture as like a like I said an archaeologist or like an explorer, being like, wow, this world is so interesting. And like as you climb up, it things kind of change, and you kind of get an understanding of like what happened to this society.
Yeah. Okay.
I really enjoyed it. It's not a very long game, and it's on Game Pass, so I definitely recommend jumping on it or climbing on it, as it were. Fall Guys, Keo, is that you?
Yeah, that was me. On the back end of the announcements of the Final Fantasy XIV Fall Guys event that came out, jumping in and looking at that, I'm like, well, all I have to do is 20 more races. Well, I have to do like an unknown amount of races, up to 20 races. I basically just spent a couple of days where I had like an hour or two here or there, just kind of jumping in and just doing the races. And I was, you'd think that the winning the races could be hard, but
I did it. Yes, hard, Keo.
Yeah, no. You develop a resistance to new variations of certain tracks where they change like one thing here and there. So eventually, like I was winning maybe two times a session in like second or third, like, so you know, so you're getting there eventually, just slowly and stuff like that. So, but yeah, it's kind of nice to have that one. That's another one ticked off. I did Rocket League last week, Fall Guys this week, Overwatch is next. I have to do the last of the characters. Mm-hmm. So that's happening, and then I'll start looking at some of the other multiplayer
party
stuff.
Animals
unfinished. I haven't started that. I need to look at. I actually wouldn't mind. What's that game with the headbangers? I actually wouldn't mind looking at that.
Headbangers looks very heavily skill based.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, but I gravitate more towards the skill based stuff instead of like. Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, like maybe Party Animals, but We'll see. It's just the stuff that I've started, I want to try and knock out.
How much headbangers have you seen? Because every time I've seen somebody start like round one, it's just immensely difficult.
Oh, I could imagine. I have not seen anything except for the trailers, so I'm in for a shock. So,
yep.
Yeah, I have downloaded it. I just haven't even played it yet. So yeah, But
Hilarious.
Kiku apparently couldn't even every time it wouldn't connect to the servers and stuff like that. So apparently it's having some issues. So yeah,
Interesting.
yeah.
Sable?
Yeah, so I've just been playing Sable when going to bed in the Rag Ally. I don't know how to feel about Sable. Like, it's interesting in terms of like a world, but
It fucking performs like shit. The
yeah.
frame rate. I like
I've been playing 60 FPS on the Ally and it's been pretty good, just leaving on the charger.
Yeah.
But I think just like moving between certain platforms and that. Like, I know they got the compass feature, which kind of tells you where to go, but I feel it's very finicky at times. Like, it's one of those games that I want to just play it without a guide, but I feel like I need to draw up, I need to get open a guide just to do certain quests, which kind of takes away from it. But like, yeah, in terms of, I think frame rate's fine now, with the 60 FPS. Do you still need to go back to the update?
I went and did it. Yeah, I
You
went and
did
did it
it?
a few weeks
Okay.
ago. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah. But yeah, no, like, I know. I think it's just a perfect, like, laying in bed, kind of not thinking too much game, but
No enemies, just kind of a chill time. Yeah.
yeah, just traveling point to point.
And then you played Dead Island 2 DLC, I assume?
Yeah.
Yeah, tell me about disappointment. I mean, Dead Island 2.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, me and Alex booted up Dead Island 2, and I've got to say, like, just going back to the base game, I was pleasantly surprised of how solid this was and how much, you know, that didn't step out of its bounds and what Dead Island's meant to be. Like, it just felt like a proper sequel to the original Dead Island game. Now, Dead Island 2's DLC House, you go to this weird mansion, you go in, and there's a whole bunch of zombies that have, like, they're not zombies, they have the ability to talk essentially. Like, they're zombified but not zombies.
Okay.
The narrative for this DLC is fucking stupid. It's
I mean,
just about this cult trying to zombify themselves but still retain their human sense. The missions, though, the pathing and all that is very, like, Alex quickly became frustrated on what we were meant to be doing, which resulted in me immediately looking up a guide to figure out how to solve the first mission.
It's only like 2 or 3 hours, right? It's
Yeah,
quite short.
considering it only took you a couple of hours, getting frustrated really quick must have been like.
Just because the mission directives aren't clear. It's like, go to this vein of an area and figure out what you're meant to do, kind of storyline, which is, I mean, in any game that I've ever played, it's just like, no, just fucking tell me what to do, essentially. The boss fight at the end is essentially a big computer that you're just shooting brains off of. I will say the crossbow is very interesting, but they got a really annoying achievement that you have to headshot five enemies in a row with a crossbow in a quick succession.
Oh, okay.
Which Alex managed to pull, like, I found the area that people recommended. Alex managed to do it very quickly, and then I spent like 15 minutes trying to replicate it after, which was annoying. It was just, in terms of a quality, like, this was going from like Dead Island 2 being an 8 or being like an 8.5, and then immediately dropping down to like a 3.5 or a 4.
Yeah, okay.
Just very forgettable. Like, one semi cool boss fight, but like, your weapons are powered after the main game. Like, you just take him down in 2 shots anyway,
Yeah,
essentially.
right.
And just a lot of repetition with its level design. I don't know how they can justify charging $20 for this
Oh, they
DLC.
charge 20 bucks for it?
Oh, what?
Jesus. Okay,
The
that's.
so I
season
was.
pass at the moment is $48
Oof.
Australian.
Do we
How
know
many?
how?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
how much content is there supposed to be in this thing?
There's meant to be 2 seasons pass. Sorry, 2 DLCs.
Two DLCs more or total?
No, total.
Oh,
So there
wow.
was a house one, and then there's another one, and that's like $48.
Fuck, that's pretty steep.
Which I didn't realize. Alex told me that each individual pack is $20, so I paid $8 for cosmetics, which I was not impressed about. But yeah, like, I recommend the main game, but just, yeah, this DLC was shit.
That's a real shame. You know what isn't shit? Fucking Alan Wake 2. Holy fucking shit. So I basically, as soon as we finished the podcast last week, I spent the entire weekend blitzing the rest of that game. I mean, yeah, the Herald of Darkness thing is the best thing in a video game I've potentially ever seen. And I won't. I will not say anything more about it because I just like
The only thing I want to say about Herald of Darkness is I don't think I have ever seen a more memorable. Okay, like how the ashtray puzzle
Ashtray
is
Maze,
the
yeah.
one defining moment of Control.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah.
This is Herald of Darkness is that one moment.
Herald of Darkness is the thing, yeah. I thought I got the moment because the way I finished the game was essentially because when I was playing, I was still relatively early on last week.
Yeah.
So I played all the way through Sagas and then through Alan's. And I was like, oh, okay, interesting. I really enjoyed it. I think, yeah, I did definitely game of the year contender for me. It might win. We'll see.
Yeah.
I still definitely gonna have to do some weighing up. I only have like my issues with it are super minor. I feel like the saga, the combat elements weren't that great. I felt like they they didn't really add a lot. I would have actually been totally okay with that game being more just puzzly.
I don't think it's sagas like I think it's gameplay in the sense of the gameplay, the feel of it is fine.
Yeah.
But then when you compare it to Alan, you've got like the dark, mysterious creep. Like the atmosphere of Alan's gameplay is so much better.
Yeah,
because you're in the dark place.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's much more interesting. And I think that's like that part is so good that Saga's part just isn't as good. Like I'm not saying it's bad by any means. It worked perfectly fine. I really enjoyed her story. I was theory crafting the whole way through it, and holy shit, the amount of stuff that like if you know Control, if you know, there's so much I want to talk about.
I'll let you talk first.
I want to say one quick thing. So Sam Lake, I came across Sam Lake's TikTok account this week.
Right.
Guess what Sam Lake's entire TikTok account starts off
as? Okay, yeah, I have a feeling, yeah.
The very start is the showing of the coffee furnace, Alan Wake remastered, and then every single post after it is enjoying coffee in a different location.
That's really
and it's amazing.
That's very funny. Sorry, what were you going to say, Kia?
I actually never finished. I haven't finished Quantum Break. I actually haven't finished Alan Wake when I got that around release time originally. Sure. I need to go back and do this. I really want to go back and do all of these. I have finished Control. If you finished Control, can you basically build the entire framework
from finished Control? The DLC?
Yeah, the Alan Wake experience, all that kind of stuff. I've done. I've completed Control. So basically, are you in a better spot playing Control to understand the world?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I would say if you want an understanding of the world of Alan Wake, you would resort to playing through Control first. If you want more of a backstory of Alan Wake as a character, you'd play
Alan Wake the first one. Or at the very least, at this point, I would just watch like a YouTube series.
Yeah, I think Game Rant did like a really good like 13-minute summary.
Yeah, which really, really helps because I think that It's been a long time, even though they did remastered recently.
There's another guy that I heard from a different podcast that they found somebody that was basically doing a whole lore run through where they just combined everything. I think I spoke about it last week just because it's just like there's some really good stuff out there.
Actually, did you see Sam Lake and the another what was the other assistant co-director? They were on
FPS podcast.
Did you see that whole interview where he's just like, yep, it's so funny because we use the entire wiki.
Yeah, use the wiki. Which makes perfect sense. Like, I can't even remember half the shit I wrote.
Just to explain to Keo, like they use the wiki to basically like fill in any of the things they weren't sure at, and they were commenting on the fact that it's kind of like meta because it's a narrative writer.
Yeah, okay.
Relying on the writing of somebody else. Yeah.
There is so much to unpack about this game.
Yeah.
But it's a 5 out of 5 experience for me. It's top tier. It's amazing. It's a must play game for sure. My only real problems are some of the saga bits are a bit not that like kind of like a little like it, it very much
would the, you say that they would
breaks
be
the pacing.
Yeah, they the novelty wears off. Like the pacing for Saga stuff maybe is a little bit off, in the same way that kind of Alan Wake 1 had a little bit of too much wandering through the forest between set pieces.
I definitely felt that with Coffee World.
Yeah, because there aren't that many areas in the game and you go back to them a few times, like that, like the watery area in particular basically is kind of like, anyway. Because the thing with Alan is that each of his locations are quite distinct.
Yeah.
Whereas sagas have some distinct points, but a lot of that, again, you're in Bright Falls, so it's like, it's the Pacific Northwest. It looks beautiful. Fuck, there's some of the, like that sunset. Jesus Christ, that looked good.
I will say, narratively speaking, though, this is the game of the year.
100%.
In terms of the narrative.
100%.
Okay.
Like, no question.
My only other real problem is that, like, there's the so Alan kind of has a thing where it's like you put the narrative parts in the zone to kind of rewrite the story, whereas Saga stuff is more like lines like
connecting like
investigation
the dots,
kind of stuff.
The investigation stuff I was hoping for maybe a little bit more, like I was hoping for like a bit more investigation gameplay where I was like, I was hoping I was going to be do like more investigate. Like I was kind of hoping this was going to steal a bit more from kind of the Sherlock Holmes kind of thing, where it's like you kind of making deductions and making decisions. Whereas a lot of it is just like putting things on the board and it puts it in the right spot for you and draws the line and does the deduction for you. And I'm kind of like, I kind of wanted it to be maybe a little bit more involved than that.
I've heard it compared to Heavy Rain, where there was like the detective has like a VR headset that they put on and it just kind of sorts stuff out.
It's not quite that. Like it doesn't have like a detective vision, which I was really happy about. Like it doesn't highlight stuff in the world. You kind of have to still have to do a little bit of detective work, but it's quite heavy on the detective work at first and then becomes a lot less going forward.
Yeah.
Like
it sets itself up early on though, to make you think that it's going to be going along.
Yeah, but more like the crime scene you go to at the beginning. I was like, oh, cool. I was hoping I was going to see more of that kind of stuff. And there is kind of not really a huge amount of it. Like they kind of do a little bit of like puzzle stuff. But yeah, I was hoping for maybe a little bit more on that.
The profiling stuff, I really don't.
Yeah, I don't
do anything from it.
Exactly. Like, yeah. And I kind of, they kind of explain it a little bit later in the story. But even then, I was like, okay. But anyway, yeah, like it's still an amazing, amazing game. A must play.
We'll do a spoiler cast of that soon.
Absolutely. And so yeah, we're definitely, I think we'll maybe record that for while we're on holiday break, actually, and that can go out or whatever we want to do there.
Discuss some of our game of the years to have the spoiler cast.
Yes, exactly. Do you want to talk about Hitman a little bit there?
Yeah, so going off what I said last week, where I'd finished Hitman 2, essentially, the package, that title, Hitman 2. I went and I had two levels left in Hitman 3, so I went ahead and did them this week. So I've finished out the story in the Hitman trilogy, and it's pretty much where I was at last week, where I'm like, the third game levels, even though they're narratively heading towards a conclusion, they just weren't set up the way that the Hitman 2 stuff. I mean, Hitman 2 stuff is so good, I think. Yeah. So like that, the final mission in Hitman 3 is just like, from A to B and kill everything along the way. And it's just like a bit of story at the end and stuff like that. But I was right about the World of Assassination on Game Pass. Hmm. If that's the way you're planning on starting it, the Hitman 2 access pass that's in that is the basic kit, which is the basically access to the normal levels. You have to go and buy the expansion pass for Hitman 2.
So that's Haven Island and the New York Bank, right? I think.
And then there's like two sniper assassin missions and then a couple of other things. Yeah, it is basically those two. I still need to do one of those missions, which is the Haven Island. But
the bank one was really fun, though.
The bank one was really fun, though. I spent ages in that one because everything was kind of like connected but not connected. So you could walk around the map and then you'd want to solve it one way. but then you'd come across something else and you're like, but this links back to that, but if I do this then I can't do that. So you want to go back in and play the mission again.
It was interesting because like that was a smaller level than some of the other
Yeah,
ones. Like it
it
like say,
was.
like it was like half the size or maybe like a third of the size of something like Sapienza, but
Yeah.
it had so much, like everything was so close together that it was really, really interesting to play with.
Yeah, which is kind of the same with the first mission, Hawke's Bay, which is just it's just like it's all beach and there's just this tiny little house area with a really tight experience that changes like halfway through that experience. But this one, yeah, you just had so many things that you wanted to play with essentially. And you didn't have any trouble like having to go layer after layer of a building all over a long, yeah. So,
What did you think of David says he reckons that the Paris level in Hitman 1 is probably the best mission. To be fair, I think that you might be right because like they put everything into that. They kind of nailed it. Like they were like they had a really, really good start with that. What did you think of the manor level, the Dartmoor Manor,
The
with the
Dartmoor.
detectives, the one
Oh,
with the
yeah.
English, with the detective thing where you can go and solve the mystery and stuff?
Yeah, as soon as you go in there, you have a bit of a chuckle.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
love it,
you
right?
just like everything about it is you have to go and talk to everybody, and it's like it was done really, really well, and you just wanted to solve the mystery behind it. I can't remember how did I end up killing them off. I think I just ended. I ended up just doing it in a silly way. I actually have to. I don't think I actually got to the end of that
I think my
because I.
favorite one was the family photo one is the one that I did for that, where you.
Oh right, I ended up with a problem with that level where I don't know the name of the woman in that, but ended up pathing outside to a bin and was just standing there and would not do anything else.
Like, all right.
So it's like it hit the in between of a scripting thing, and then if you pulled out any kind of weapon next to her, she knew that you were there and she'd run off and do whatever. But if you try to do anything else with her at that point, you couldn't. So, but she, and she was behind a car, right? And she was next to a bin. So I'm just like, oh, no one else is here. It's like, they just, took her out and then just legged it. And I'm like, well, I can't do anything else. So I kind of just had to give up because I couldn't get it to path to do anything else. Cause that's where I was at. I was trying to do the family photo in the end, because that's what I wanted to do. I'd had it all set up and everything, and I turned on the tap and all that kind of stuff, but I couldn't. She wouldn't path. I don't know what her normal pathing is like, but she was just stuck. So I kind of just did away with her and just legged it out of there. So, but yeah. But yeah, the sound in the F1 level is great as well.
Oh
Yeah,
yeah, the F1
I
level
like
is
that.
very good. Yeah, the whole Miami stuff. That's also one of those levels where I was like, there's a lot more to that level than I realized the first time I played it. There's a lot to it.
Yeah, there's a couple of levels where there are whole other areas that you don't see if you don't just walk around. Yeah. So, but overall, Hitman 2, I think, is one of the better experiences. And yeah, the Paris level at the start of the game of that number one. Yeah, really great. But yeah, so you really need to buy that expansion pass if you're doing it on Game Pass. So you're looking at $15 or something to actually finish the game off. So it's not included. So.
A
If
lot
you
of
want the
content though.
achievements, yeah, it is a lot. So,
I've also been playing what I've been debating putting in this my game of the year list because it's another one of those ones where I'm like, probably shouldn't be on there, but a Ghost Trick. So this only like 300 people have played this on TA, which is a crime. This needs to be in Game Pass like today. People need to play this fucking game.
I mean, people play this on the DS, didn't they?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Game part, yeah, it like Ghost Trick is so good. So obviously made by the same people who do Ace Attorney or Phoenix Wright, and you can see it all the way through. Like it's in the styling, in the conversations, in the way it works. This game is fucking great. I talked about how like Cocoon has really good puzzling. This is like not as good as that, but it has a really good narrative around it to kind of cushion it a little bit. It's very funny. It's really macabre. It's really like it's like the puzzle elements are really, really well thought out and quite clever. And like the mystery is really like, in the same way that it's like when you're solving a case in Phoenix Wright, you're like, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. this means this, that, like you fucking like put all the clues together in your head and you're just like this. It's the same thing where I'm just like, you know, you're dead and you're like going and finding out, you're meeting all these people and jumping between all these areas. And like, it's basically like one screen with a bunch of stuff on it. And you kind of interact with stuff in various orders to try and trigger things to happen in the right sequence. Kind of like a, you know, like Rube Goldberg machine, like, hey, you want to roll the ball down here to make this happen, to make them notice this, so they fall into this hole, so this triggers, this triggers.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about like finding like the right thing at the right time. And they keep like adding new elements to it where it's like, okay, it was like, well, you need to make sure this person doesn't notice this thing happening, or you need to, it's like, okay, well, yeah, anyway, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's like, it's super, like really, really interesting. It's like a maybe a 10-hour game. I am on like, I think chapter like 16 out of 17. So I'm very close to the end. I was going to get it done tonight, but I just didn't have time. So I'll probably get it done. I'll definitely get it done this weekend. Like this better come to Game Pass. I mean, they are bringing the Phoenix Wright games to Game Pass as well. So I'm hoping that this ends up on there as well. I love the animation. Like every character has like an interesting way of walking. They just like they've just animated all the characters like to do like fun, interesting like movement. Like there's a guy who's like, instead of walking down the stairs, he just jumps on the banister and slides down it. And just like they didn't need to add that. He could have just walked down it, but like, no, like we want to, there's a guy who, when he panics, does like a very specific dance over and over again. And they're just like, well, we could have just made him like a weird, wacky character who just kind of complains and sits there. But it's like, no, we actually put some effort into like this 3D, like, you know, this kind of DS kind of thing going on where we have this movement. And now that they've kind of up-resed it and kind of cleaned it up a little bit, it looks really, really good. Yeah, highly, highly recommend it. I must play again. I've been playing a lot of great stuff. But now that I've been getting to kind of the end of my kind of like front log, I guess, as opposed to backlog, of like things that I need to like upcoming stuff I really wanted to play this year. With those games done, I was like, fuck, what am I going to play next? I've got
Forest Simulator.
I'm sorry, what?
Forest Simulator.
Forest Simulator? Backlog,
front logs.
Oh,
logs.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's, yeah, Lumberjack Simulator. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was asking for some suggestions on what to play next, and Firehawk reminded me that he had recently finished Starlink. And said that, and we had chatted about it a little bit, and he recommended that I just go and do it because I've had it sitting in my backlog for a long time. So I fired that up like today. And
are you using the toys?
No, I'm going full digital. Damn. I have the digital deluxe version.
Damn it.
Yeah, this game's okay.
Yeah, I've seen like it being game, played right? by people. It's kind of. Yeah, I mean, I know more adults that leaned into the
Toys to Life
than not. So
you got to have a fucking disposable income to do Toys to Life, I tell you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I was thinking it was going to be more like space combat sim, but it's actually more like, yeah, there's a little bit of space combat, but most of the time you spend on the planet driving around and like doing like little like fetch quests and shooty missions, and it's like it's. It suffers from Ubisoft open world fatigue in a way that I didn't even think they could do in this kind of game, unfortunately, where it's like, it has an interesting hierarchy where there are essentially these robots that have extractors in the ground. And the more extractors in the ground, the more powerful the boss robot is. And the more boss robots there are, the more powerful the mothership for those robots are. So it's like, you can remove the extractors to weaken the robot, and then you defeat the robots to weaken the mothership. Or you can just say, fuck it, and go straight for the mothership if you want a real challenge. So it has this interesting hierarchy thing where it's kind of like a push and pull where you need to try and like set up bases and like weaken the enemy and trying to like, there's like, you know, like have like a, like alliance level bar readiness thing that you need to get to like, you know, 50% or whatever. It's
how do we do Orcs from Shadow of Mordor without copying?
Exactly. Like, yes.
Breaching patent.
Exactly. Yes. Like, instead of having like a proper nemesis system. Exactly. Like very, very similar to that kind of style. But unfortunately kind of like, there isn't really like a huge amount of activities. It's kind of like,
yeah, it looked pretty bare.
Yeah, it's a lot more threadbare than I thought it was going to be, especially with like, I thought it was going to be more like, hey, there'll be some like on the ground levels, but most of it's going to be like in space doing like space station stuff or like, you know, like bounty hunting or whatever. But it's like, no, it's like you're kind of just kind of flying from space to space, and occasionally you find like an enemy base to fight. It's just, yeah, like let me put it this way. I am essentially at like the second to last mission already of the game. I still have a lot of cleanup to do afterwards, but essentially you need to like go to each of these planets and like get their galactic readiness basically up to 50% and then plant a tower there. And then you have to do it like three different places and then come back and finish the game and do it on the rest of the planets. So yeah, it's okay. Like, it's fine as a grind game, but I'm going to need something. I need something to sink my teeth into. And like, I need a new project game basically that I've been kind of trying to toss up what that's going to be. So, hey, if people have suggestions, put them in the Discord. Be curious to hear. I was looking at Master Chief Collection, but unfortunately it hasn't discontinued at the moment. So until they patch that.
Age of Empires 2.
Yeah, I can consider that. I don't know. I'm not very good at RTS,
I honestly think Inscription should probably be the next thing you do, but
I don't own Inscription, but yeah. But I sure, yeah, Inscription I hear is very, very good. I would like to do that.
Come on, Jake. Side with me. Help me out.
Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of looking for my next big project now that I kind of rushed through most of the stuff. I probably will pick up Ubisoft, whatever it is, Ubisoft Plus or whatever.
Yeah, may as well do like Mirage, Avatar and all that in one hand.
Yeah, I'll probably do that probably in like next month or potentially over the holidays, but I still have a few weeks until then where I need to get some games in. So
do you think you'll do The Crew?
I might do actually. I mean,
it is relatively easy. It's just,
yeah. And like I don't mind driving games. I'm just not hugely good at them. So we'll see how it goes.
I think it would probably be good for you, like in terms of having a Forza Horizon without the grind.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that's a lot of games this week. It will probably start slowing down, I imagine, now that we get towards the end of gaming season.
Yep.
I'll just quickly go to the leaderboard here. In third place, we've got Mad Mike with 7,990. We've got Thrash Forever with 8,795. And we have Kruger with 28,755, which is, again, another insane amount.
You accidentally putting the K there absolutely fucked me reading that.
Oh, yeah.
I read it as like 1, 1, 2, 7, 5, 5.
That would be insane. But not
1,128,000.
It's a busy week. Keo, do you want to read through our completions?
Yeah, not much this week. Monkeys did Jazant. Rapture did Isle Tide Hotel. David Millai did Frog Detective. And Bulbasaur did an Inertial Drift and didn't enjoy it. I think it was a bit of a grind. Not really.
I think it's very, like, very big shout out, though, for getting Inertial Drift on.
Yeah, yeah, it's a quite a nice, rough one.
Yep. And a Games of Gold, one of the finals, I believe.
So, yes, well done, actually, Bob. So just there.
And yeah, Rapture said that Island Tide Hotel sounds like might be something I'd be interested in. Kind of has that FMP
thing going on. I mean, what's the publisher? Whales Interactive. They've been doing games like this lately where I feel like they're more branching storyline kind of achievements.
Cool. Yeah. Interesting.
So I think it's like 5 or 6 different playthroughs.
Okay. I mean, like, I'm totally okay with that. Like, again, like I enjoy most of the Wales Interactive stuff, so I'll definitely give it a try at some stage.
Yeah, I agreed.
And then we've got the word challenge, everyone's favorite competition that is not getting any easier because I haven't had a lot of guesses this week. but I've been real mean with the clues, but I've been going with an awards theme. So if you don't know the word challenge is, basically I pick a game, you have to go on the Discord and guess in the word challenge what the game is. If you spell it correctly with, you know, capitalization and stuff like that, gift pops up, you win a prize, $20 or a game or whatever. So we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
That's what your Patreon money goes towards. And so the clues we've given away so far, they range from incredibly helpful to not helpful at all. The first clue was, this game was nominated for multiple IGN Best Of Awards for the year it was released. The second clue was, this game was nominated for 2 categories at the Game Awards. Again, not saying which year, but Game Awards hasn't been around for that long, so that narrows it down. This probably helps a little bit too. This game's been nominated for Best Music or Best Score, you know, that kind of music, artistic score kind of sound design awards by multiple publications. This game got a lot of nods when it came to music and like sound and that kind of stuff. So good luck with that. Next week, I'm probably going to tell you, no, that'll be giving it too much away. We'll see. I want to see what kind of guesses we get. But
next week, it's like, this is 2 words.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes. Very curious to see kind of what guesses we get. And I'll also be curious to see who knows this game in general, actually. But I don't want to give too much away. All right, Cameron, do you want to read off our Patreons?
Yep. Did you add the new one into the list?
I did, yes.
Cool. You misspelled it. Lee Howard, Mikhail KV, Natalita, Mad Lefty, 2097, Admiral Awesome, Happy Moogles, Kung Fu Skills, Hackenbone, Cavalier 07, Old McClown, Mark B, McLovin Legend, Massage, Left Legacy, and McNulty. With a O instead of an AU.
Oh, it's an O? Okay, sorry. I didn't actually, I didn't see it written down, so I just kind of had to guess.
It's like McNulty.
Yeah, well, I've seen
the. It's like it's like when I do a Macca's run after the.
Yeah, exactly. After
the
exactly,
podcast, yeah. It's a McNulty.
There you go. Yeah, McNulty. Gotcha. All right. Well, that's pretty much going to bring us to the end of the show. As always, view the show live on Twitch. Xbox Hall and Gamers is the place to find us. A big thank you to everyone for coming and hanging out and listening, especially to our Patreons who help pay for the show and Zoom and hosting and prizes and all that kind of shit and equipment when it breaks. We literally could not afford to do the show without you guys. But let's do some shilling. Cameron, what have you got?
Not much at the moment. I mean, just yeah, Shadowless AU on all the platforms. So for YouTube, I've got to change that still.
You get there. Kia, what about you? Been streaming?
Yeah, so I have been streaming Liza P on my Twitch, Kia Live at Home. Yeah, so I'll be doing a lot more of that actually now. So definitely have a look at that because I'm just going to hit it every week, whatever days I'm free and not working. You can catch notifications for that on Twitter at Kia Live at Home as well. And actually, if you want the VODs for the Liza P runs that I've done and any future content, it will be at HTFG Play on YouTube.
Amazing. And as always, I'm the master on everything, True Achievements, Xbox, and Discord if you need to get hold of me for whatever reason. Well, I believe that's everything. That's been episode 101. We will catch you guys. Well, I won't catch you next week, but these guys will catch you next week. See you later.
Bye, everyone.
See you later.